Steve, thanks so much. Newsbreaker Steve. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's the Thursday edition of our show. We would love to have you join in anytime at 312-981-7200. How are you? Everything good?
Everything is fantastico.
You just gave the show a sort of a European flair. That
I like
was fantastic.
To do that. Yeah, it's a good day. It's sunny. It's a little cold, but I feel the warmth coming our way.
Yes, absolutely true. Just really quickly before we jump into the show, I heard on the way in the news that the Blackhawks have traded one of their players, Ryan Garbutt. I was nervous at first because they said there was a trade, and I'm like, oh, please none of the majors. He's not one of your frontliners, but certainly a contributor. And I always wonder this time of year with things going as well as they've gone, do you want to shake up the chemistry at all? But the Blackhawks management seems to know what they're doing.
And Garbutt has scored.
Yeah.
I just don't like his name.
Because the word butt is in it?
And garbage. It's like a garbage butt.
Maybe that's why they traded him. <'Cause>
And I feel sad saying that, but I don't like it.
You know what it is it shows that we really are all in fifth grade, because even as adults, you look at a guy, an accomplished athlete, a contributor to your team, and you go, well, what can I possibly do to make fun of him? And that's your answer is to call him garbage butt.
But, I mean, it's right there. It's on the back of his jersey.
Right. And yet the crowd didn't chant, guess what, garbage butt, guess what. I mean, it would have been easy to do that, but the Hawks fans are too savvy. We didn't do that ever. We will now that he's on another team. When he comes back, we'll do that. But we didn't do it at the time.
All right. Well, we didn't have him very long.
No, we hardly knew him.
And panic. I think that's how you say
all
it.
Right.
I didn't know who he was on the ice the other night, and then he scores.
That's for some, and I don't understand this. I've never GM'd a National Hockey League team. I've been the general manager of several teams in Canada, but never
awesome.
Here in the United States.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. For some reason, they just keep finding guys wherever they go who just contribute and make the team even better. So we will miss you, Ryan Garbutt. We will not make fun of you when you come back to town unless people are looking. All right. We wanted to talk just a little bit, and we did this yesterday toward the end of the show. We talked a little bit about Sarah Palin and how she has endorsed Donald Trump. And we played audio for you. Some of it slightly ridiculous. Most of it slightly ridiculous. Well, now things have happened since then. Her son Track got in some trouble, some domestic abuse, and she felt the need to explain why and took a swipe at the president in doing so.
I was hearing this audio this morning, and I have to tell you, I got enraged.
Yeah.
I really did. It really bothered me. Not only was Track in trouble for domestic abuse, he held a gun to his head and was threatening to use it.
Right.
And yesterday, breaking news, Steve played it right as it happened, where she's explained maybe why he was having some troubles. Should we play the audio now?
Yeah, let's play. Well, or take a break. It's up to you. We can do either way.
Let's take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll play the audio. We'll analyze it a little bit for you. We'd love to hear your comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Would it be safe to say that Sarah Palin is a polarizing figure? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
All right. She ran for vice president. Maybe you remember that was a couple of elections ago. Didn't win. Gave up her governorship of Alaska. And then the other day announced that she is supporting Donald Trump for president. Then word comes out about her son, Track, having an incident, quote unquote. Here is her explanation. And then we'll go through it with you. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200.
Talk personally about this. I guess it's kind of the elephant in the room, because my own family going through what we're going through today with my son, a combat vet, having served in a striker brigade, fighting for you all, America, in the war zone. But my son, like so many others, they come back a bit different. They come back hardened. They come back wondering if there is that respect for what it is that their fellow soldiers and airmen and every other member of the military so sacrificially have given to this country. And that starts from that the top. It's a shame that our military personnel even have to wonder if they have to question if they're respected anymore. It starts from the top. The question, though, that comes from our own president, where they have to look at him and wonder, do you know what we go through? Do you know what we're trying to do to secure America and to secure the freedoms that have been bequeathed us? So when my own son is going through what he goes through coming back, I can certainly relate with other families who kind of feel these ramifications of some PTSD and some of the woundedness that our soldiers do return with. And it makes me realize more than ever, it is now or never, for the sake of America's finest, that we have that commander-in-chief who will respect them and honor them.
So it's Obama's fault, right?
Oh, my God.
Is it President Obama's fault?
I cannot take the blame game anymore. It's unfortunate that her son, Track, had these issues.
It's terrible.
And you know what? Post-traumatic stress disorder may have a lot to do with it. Is he getting counseling for this? Is this something she was aware of? He held a gun to his head.
See, this is the epitome of the argument about availability to people who shouldn't have availability to guns. If he's suffering this, and she claims he is, you just heard her say he came back different, and we have no... I can't say whether he is or he isn't. I don't know the guy, but if she's claiming that's the problem with him, then why does he have so much access to guns? That family has gone out of their way to talk about their collection of guns. They've got guns everywhere. They go hunting. But this is a perfect example of a guy who shouldn't be anywhere near a gun. If he has PTSD, if he's got that going on right now, then he shouldn't be anywhere near a gun.
I know, and I never criticize parents because, seriously, when you criticize someone else, maybe that problem will fall in your lap someday. But really, if she's blaming President Obama for not respecting our military, I would love to speak to a former military person. Do you get that feeling from President Obama?
I never have.
I
just the opposite, actually.
I was so mad at her today. I would like to hear a candidate come up to the podium to run for president and not bash the former president. I would like to just hear them say...
He's still the president.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
point
but,
well taken.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would stand out as something different for me. If I heard a candidate say, hey, it's a tough job. Quite honestly, I'm wondering why I want this job. But, you know, President Barack Obama did what he could in the circumstances. It's not up to one person. But here's what I would do. That, to me, would get my attention instead of just blaming everybody else for the world's problems.
It would be refreshing. I don't know if we'll ever see it.
Well, if I can put it slightly differently, I mean, I just wonder if a Republican candidate would stand out if he or she would be more positive in their message. I'm thinking of Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan certainly talked about all of the problems with America, but then talked about all the great things with the country. You know, the morning in America and all of this stuff that really lifted people up.
Right.
And so...
And he's considered to be, by both the left and the right, to be one of our greatest presidents.
Well, right. And it's certainly understandable if you're running against the sitting president's party, you're going to talk about how bad the country is. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if one of them might have separated him or herself by saying, you know what I mean? There's not that feel-good part of
it
from any of them, I don't think.
It's just the blame game. I can't take it anymore.
But isn't that the cog by which politics spins? I mean, that's what politics is.
That's what needs to change, in my opinion. Not get Trump in there to spark things up, but just to change. I don't know. Carol, what do you think?
You know, I agree 100% with both of you. I think the fact of the matter is this is a very well-known woman. If she had seen any signs of this in her son, she should have gotten him help.
Maybe he is getting help for PTSD. I don't know that, but it just seemed pretty easy to blame it on that. Her family has had problems before. Bristol has had problems. Was she fighting in Iraq?
She was not.
Well, that's because their mother's a nut job. I mean, she's a nut job. She's a bully.
All right.
She's a bully.
Thank you very much for your opinion on that.
She is all about, I mean, she's about personal responsibility. That's one of the messages, and yet she doesn't seem to take any.
But Steve, not just her, but look at how many politicians have gone on the record of late saying it's part of the freedom of America is your access to guns. And then we say, but look at all the mistakes that we're making with guns. And they, you know, they go back and forth about how much more difficult it'll be, especially with somebody who's suffering from something like PTSD, to obtain a gun. But her own son was holding a gun during this argument.
And Dave, you want to jump in. Did you serve in the military?
I did not, but I have a son who's in special ops, Air Force special ops. And be frank with you, I've asked him a number of times, what is your feeling or what is the feeling about your compatriots about Trump and what he's doing? And their common response, he's a nut job. He's a joke. That's how the military feels. The guys in the military that I've talked to, they feel that Trump is strictly a joke. So back to what you're discussing, though, and I'll say it frankly, what man or woman who's been in the military that you've known, that I've known, that we've all known or seen, doesn't come back different than when they went in?
It's absolutely
part of the process. They leave as young adults. They come back as full-blown adults with responsibilities, a reality of what the real thing is, and we go from there. And, yes, we do owe our servicemen respect. We do owe them the responsibility of taking care of those that are wounded that have served and helped us maintain our country and our freedom. That's a given. But to put it in Trump's hands, who's out to destroy any Muslim who's a terrorist, their family, their friends, their family, their mothers, daughters, relatives, right down the line, that is stupid, absolutely stupid. And bless you for bringing it up on the air to get it out there and the reality. And people should listen to what the reality is and not to his blasting of no problems, no concept. He has no programs in place of what he's going to do. Put me in and I'll make the changes. Put me in, I'll make the changes. To what?
We're not hearing exactly what the changes are. Dave, thank you so much. We appreciate your call. Another thing, there was a quote that Trump said today about blowing people up and putting, was it Bernie Sanders right in the middle?
No, Bo Bergdahl. He wants to drop him right in the middle.
Are you hearing what a presidential candidate is saying? You don't say that stuff and then get respect from other countries and your own country. What is going on? Am I in a dream?
A dream or a nightmare or something in the middle. I don't know. It all seems very unlikely the way these things play out. It's extremely frustrating. And yet what started out as, wouldn't it be funny if Donald Trump really was running for president?
Not funny anymore.
He's the frontline leader on the side. And at this point, I don't know what would have to happen for that to change. I really don't.
All right. 312-981-7200. We have touched a nerve and we're here to listen to everything, but we do have to take a break and do some news if you want to hang on or you want to call in or text 312-981-7200. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Where to begin? If you've just joined us, Sarah Palin has come out with her endorsement of Donald J. Trump. Is it J? I just know what I hear. I regurgitate things like sports radio.
Oh.
Hi, my name is Lefty.
Right, right.
I'd like to talk politics right now. Sarah Palin has come out behind Donald Trump, and she endorses him. And as this was all going down, her son Track had some problems with his girlfriend. Where evidently, I should say allegedly, he had hit her a bit, her eye was swollen, and then he held a gun to his head and said, don't make me do it, I'm going to do it. This is allegedly, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Then she comes out and says that, you know, her son, Track, served in Iraq. And thank you for your service, Track. That should be the first thing we say. Mm. And she also claimed that, you know, he's got some things going on and suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. And that could very well be true. And then he needs some help. Then she went on to blame our commander-in-chief for not respecting veterans, basically. Is that it in a
nutshell?
Pretty
much, yeah. She said the problem starts at the top. And It seemed a little opportunistic to me. It seemed like she was looking for some sort of a scapegoat. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
Does she write her own material? Because I don't see her as being that bright. And this is a very good defense that she's come up with.
Well, during the campaign, when she was running for vice president, there's no way in the world they would have let her write her own material. They assign writers to you. And I don't know what the state of that is right now. I know she's been very much in the news the last couple of days because of her endorsement of Trump. I would think that somebody somewhere along the line in the Republican Party would say, we really should put a writer or two on her just to have something ready when she speaks. So I don't know if that was a product of her own mind or if she was collaborating with somebody when she made these statements. I don't know.
All right. We are going to talk to Jerry right now. Jerry, are you a vet?
I am. Vietnam.
Thank you.
Just three quick things. I think that every other Republican candidate is probably very happy that took a deep breath that they don't have to deal with her.
Mm-hmm.
Although, wasn't Ted Cruz
expected an endorsement from her?
She mentored him or something?
She endorsed him in his Senate run and was pretty influential in that primary.
And then put her powers behind Trump at this point. So he might be disappointed, Jerry, but all the other ones, okay.
Well, secondly, if it wasn't her son, it's a non-story because there are people that have been to Iraq, Afghanistan, and everything else dealing with that every day.
Yep.
Maybe putting a gun to their girlfriend's heads or any of that business, but if it wasn't her son, it happens to a lot of people. And thirdly, when she says that today's vets aren't being respected, try being a vet that went to Vietnam, because I'll bet that her son didn't get spit on and called a baby killer when he got home.
Jerry, I cannot even imagine what you guys went through. I really can't.
It's just, you know, and when she says not everybody that served as a hero, I certainly don't consider myself that, because the heroes in my war are on a wall in D.C. They didn't get to come home. I did. I got to have a life. I got to have the greatest kid in the world. I got to have two careers. It's just like, you know, I can't even imagine that that lady is even listened to, quite honestly, but that's just me. So Jerry, I'll shut up and let you guys talk.
No, thank you. You made some
beautifully
valid points.
Jerry, honestly. And
thank
again,
you.
Thanks for your service. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That breaks my heart. That's a whole other situation, the Vietnam vets, really.
We got a text saying, essentially, I don't have the text in front of me, that the people serving currently are not big fans of Barack Obama's. My guess is, and I don't have any stats to prove this, that if you took a slice of anybody or anything in the country, you'd have some people who were big fans of the president and some people that were opposed to what he's doing. I don't think, as the text points out, the words to the effect of people in the military are not fans of Barack Obama's. I really think it's going to be one of those situations where it depends on who you talk to, don't you?
Yes, and here's a texter, 630. The president is to blame when it comes to lack of support for veterans with PTSD. He's doing very little to make changes within the VA, which is a mess, to make it a priority to help veterans with this condition. The federal government sends troops to war. The federal government is responsible to ensure that veterans receive the help they need to live a normal life. This commander-in-chief lacks of action with this speaks volumes to all service personnel and veterans. Is he really not doing anything? The veterans, the VA has had issues for quite
forever.
Some time.
Right.
And I thought there were some things. We had somebody call yesterday who said that he is getting the treatment he needs. And there are people that fall through the cracks, absolutely, and probably way too many of
them. This has to be a case-by-case basis, that depending on who you are telling the story, it's either going to be favorable or negative or maybe somewhere in the middle. But has Donald Trump given any indication that he's going to make anything right when it comes to vets?
Well, yes, he has.
What has he done, Steve?
He says he's going to.
Well, right,
but it's like everything
it.
He says.
Well, it's the beauty of running against. You know, you don't have to defend what you've done. You can say you're going to fix it.
And then to think of, you know, he's not going to take crap from any other country and he's going to bomb this place and bomb that.
And throw Bo Bergdahl in the middle of it before he throws the bombs down.
I can't even believe you would joke about something like that. I mean,
he wasn't joking.
I know, but
he
even to say it, Bill, it was I feel like I am watching a cartoon of some sort and I'm involved in it.
Yeah.
And with him, you know, we're bombing this person and bombing that person. You don't think the military is going to be pretty busy under his reign?
Right.
Fixing up some of the problems he started?
Steve, we talked a little bit about Parliament in England yesterday discussing Donald Trump. What is the sense around the world from other world leaders? Are they feel like we feel like, is this really happening? Are they welcoming this? Are they fearing this? What's the feeling from other world leaders? Do we know?
It's funny because I was talking to Queen Elizabeth yesterday.
What'd she say?
Well, you know what? It didn't come up. We were talking about our dogs. Oh.
You know, Trump and Putin are going to meet at some point, and Trump is going to go, hey, let's just arm wrestle this one out.
The reporters who have been overseas and talked to other foreign leaders say, yeah, they're puzzled by it and troubled. I think, you know, there's been an arc for all of us. Like, well, this is kind of a novelty. Wow, look how well he's doing. He could actually win.
Right.
He's going to win. Maybe he'll win the presidency. You know, many people have gone along that, and I think they're doing that overseas, too. You know, the thing about Trump and Putin, Wendy, is, you know, when I forget who he was being interviewed by, and when Putin sort of endorsed him, and they said, well, you know, he kills people. Did you welcome that endorsement? He goes, well, I don't know. Who's he killed?
Right.
Who do we know?
Right.
Well, we have a judge in England who this morning ruled that Putin likely was behind the killing of a former KGB agent in England. So I wonder if Donald Trump will be asked about that sometime today.
It's a good question.
630 says, last I checked, I don't think Obama invented the military. And do people realize how old school and self-policing our military is? Obama probably can't do much to change anything. It has to happen from within the military.
In terms of helping vets, is that what we're talking about?
I think so.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We still have a lot of people on the line that we have not spoken to. We're at 312-981-7200. We're trying to determine exactly what was behind Sarah Palin's speech. Do you buy it? Do you not buy it? Give us a call or a text, and we'll discover what your thoughts are next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. That's all I can say.
Where do you get a handbasket?
I don't know.
And
why
does it?
Why does it go to hell?
I'm not sure. If you're just joining us, very briefly, I'll set up what's going on. Sarah Palin was explaining what exactly happened with her son, Track, who's been charged with domestic abuse. I think if I can make one point in this, the point is this. Every time you hear a politician talk about what needs to be done to make it harder for people with any kind of a deficiency at all from having a gun, you can look at this incident and say, you were the governor of Alaska and your son had easy access to a weapon and he has PTSD. So what does that say? You can talk all you want about making it harder. He didn't have a hard time getting a gun. He could have killed himself or the girl. He could have killed everybody he wanted to kill. So you got to do something. You can't just talk about it. You got to do something about it.
And she blamed President Obama that, you know, the veterans, benefits are, he's just not taking care of respecting the military. That's what she basically said. And let's talk to, is this Renee? Hi, Renee.
Oh, hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good. So what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I went in 75, so I'm end of the Vietnam era. I'm a veteran.
Thank you.
I am also a licensed clinical psychotherapist, and I treat PTSD for a living, and I've been treating it for many, many years. So what I can say about this is I want you to think about this perspective. Yes, he probably knows all the services that are for him for his PTSD, whether he's doing that or not, that's his personal decision. However, whenever you're put in a place like that and you're abusing your power, you know that the other person, she can't protect herself. You're holding a gun to her head.
I think he was holding a gun to his head, threatening to kill himself.
Same thing. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's still abuse of your power.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're taking an abuse of your power and you're using it against someone, against their will. And so really you're actually committing a crime, whether you have PTSD or not. And as a clinical psychotherapist, I can tell you with many years experience, and I've written a whole book about this, that you still have to take personal responsibility. You can blame your war trauma. You can blame your PTSD. But I was an EMT in the Army for 4 years. And I understand trauma very, very well from a medical and a psychological perspective. And what she did is she took this and she spun it for her own political purposes.
Yep.
What she should have said is, you know, my son is traumatized. He's deeply troubled. We're trying to work on getting him help. And I don't believe in, you know, using weapons to threaten or harm other people, and specifically not to use it as a political weapon. That's what she was doing. And I have no personal affiliations with her party or the Democratic Party, because I don't look at things from that perspective. I look at it from a spiritual perspective. That's pretty much how I look at my life in general. So anytime people are disengaged from their spiritual self they tend to justify it and make excuses for their behavior. When in reality, if you just take responsibility for your behavior, there are people out there that want to help you. And as a veteran, I can tell you that our VA, as many troubles as it has systemically, they really do want to help veterans, and they really are there to help you. You just have to go and get the help. That's all.
There was somebody.
There
was somebody that texted that there is help out there, but veterans need to be a little more proactive because they're not going to come knock on your door and say, "Do you need help?" I'm just.
Well, I know for a fact on your radio station, I think it's Steve, that he does a commercial where he does give veterans information, phone numbers that they can call. So it's not about they don't have the information. It's about are they willing and ready to seek help, because seeking help means you have to ask for help, which means sometimes you have to suck up your pride and go get the help that you need. And being a veteran myself, I understand what that's like. I understand what it's like to be out there and to be homeless, because I went through that myself. Ugh. And so I have a personal perspective. You can have a master's degree, a PhD, and you can still find yourself in a bad situation. So it's about sucking up your pride, doing the phone calls, and going and getting help. And then it's about following through and taking personal responsibility. You can't blame people for what happened to you, because you know what? Life smacked us all in the face. We all get slammed by something. You can blame somebody for everything that happens to you. Why not see it as a blessing in disguise, turn it around, and make it a paradigm of positivity, and go get some help?
You know,
responsibility.
That was said.
That's my perspective.
And that's a lovely one.
From a different place.
Renee, honestly, when had Sarah Palin addressed this issue with Track and said, "We're, you know, he's having some issues right now. We're getting him some help. You know, you never know what a parent's going to be thrown." Had she done it that way, it would have meant so much more to me
than blaming
someone.
I could have respected her more for that, because then she's speaking from the heart, and you can tell in her voice that her heart is truly, she's struggling and she's troubled to help. But you don't take it and turn it into a political weapon because of your own personal agenda. That's not being in your spiritual integrity, and I'm sorry, but I think most people these days can see through all that smoke and mirrors. And, you know, what our country and what our world needs is people who are grounded, that have a spiritual center, who care about everybody, and to not blame other people, and to work together so that we can accomplish things, instead of, you know, using these, whatever it is, as political weapons. It just gets us nowhere. I mean, we can see it in our own government, in our presidency, in our own state. You know, people are so tied into these personal ego agendas. It's time to let that stuff go and understand that this whole planet is going through a spiritual transition. And let's stop blaming, and let's start working together with compassionate hearts and using our best brain power in this country and work together. But I look at it from a different perspective, because I have a different background, and that's my personal spin on whatever she's putting out.
We appreciate
Thanks,
it very
Renee.
Much. It was well said. And I hate to criticize, you know, like, how can she throw her endorsement for Trump, or when she was governor, how can she do that when she's got problems at her own house with her own kids? You know what? You never know what's brewing in someone else's pot. So everyone may have troubles. The best parent you are in the world, you still may have some problems with your children.
Sure.
But own up to it. And as Renee said, speak from your heart. Say, yeah, we're working on some issues he has.
Right.
It's unfortunate that it happened. But to turn it around and blame President Barack Obama for it is crazy.
Well, even if she thinks that the president isn't providing enough care for vets, the Palin family has some money in the bank. They could certainly go out of pocket and pay for whatever help he needs if she
That's
feels
true.
That strongly.
What about as a former governor? Does she have benefits in that too?
She gets some sort of back pension for that.
So see?
It was a very frustrating way of writing off what happened with her son, which is tragic. Nobody wants to hear that somebody's holding a gun to their head and could kill themselves. But the way she explained it was just as wrong as could be.
And where is he now? I mean, I feel, you know, if someone had a child that tried to do that, wouldn't they be in therapy or hospitalized somewhere right now? Because who's to say he's not going to do it tomorrow?
You would hope.
She's on the road, you know?
Yeah, right.
She's busy.
Right, right. All right, a break, some news. Steve has the news. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in on this. Really appreciate it. We'll get some news and then a lot more show coming your way after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hey, it's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here on 720. Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. I will put it out there right now. I am not an avid traveler. To me, I stress out too much to enjoy traveling. Mm. I stress out about packing. Mm-hmm. When I get there, I stress out about packing to go home. I really have a hard time enjoying myself.
Sounds like a fun time.
I am not fun to vacation.
Who wouldn't want to go on a trip with you knowing all this?
Well, that's why we bring in a travel expert. Her name is Colleen Kelly. She's host of Family Travel with Colleen Kelly. That's a crazy name for a show.
I know. I kind of like it, though.
And they named the show first, and then they had you?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Season two of this show is airing now. It airs on PBS in most of the United States. And there's a big Chicago travel and adventure show coming up this weekend at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Thanks for being here with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Nice to
it.
Meet you in person. We've spoken to you on the phone before.
You have, but it's more fun in studio.
Now you're life size. It's easier to chat with you. What are some of the hot spots? Where are people going now, or where should they know about that they really
you
should
know,
visit?
Steve Bertrand is going to be at this travel show as well.
I know.
Oh, it's going to be big, and I would advise people to get there early because it gets pretty crowded because it's quite exciting. You know, where would I tell people to travel? Actually, an interesting place is Canada. Canada is 40% off for us Americans right now.
Really?
So, yeah, if you plan something for this spring or summer, even winter, they have some things going on. At Quebec City, I'm going to go there in February. They've got something called the Carnival.
Yeah.
And it's 17 days of, you know, snowshoeing and skiing and all sorts of things. And everything is 40% off.
So when you say this, do you mean travel, like the airfare? Do you mean the hotels, things you buy? What's 40% off?
So 40% off means the dollar is so strong. Right now, that if you go to Canada, when you're in Canada and you buy, let's say, a dinner, just kind of think of it as 40% off because your dollar goes that far over in Canada.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's great. And domestically, obviously, we all know the gas prices are amazing.
Yep.
So I would say anything with a road trip right now should be on the list because that's a deal.
We did a road trip last summer to Nashville. I had never been there before.
Oh,
it
Nashville.
Is awesome. It's only 6 hours to get there. We rented a minivan so the kids wouldn't fight in the back. You get the captain chairs.
That's smart.
That's the way to go. And there was a lot to do. I do like that traveling when you're driving. It's something about getting to the airport and getting there on time. That stresses me out.
It has become much more stressful. And like you said, you know, getting in the car is a lot easier right now. Plus, not to say anything, but they do have their iPads and iPods.
Right.
So
yeah.
Something
to do.
A little bit easier.
Or a screen where you can watch a movie while you're driving.
Right.
There's all kinds of options.
While you're driving?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, while you're driving, your family can watch. Although if you tilt the screen just right, you know how it works.
That's true.
Right.
And Canada, I went as a kid, and Niagara Falls is still one of the coolest things to see ever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And you can go to both sides. So you can actually go on the United States side. But if you go on to the Canadian side, it's, again, like I said,
right.
It's a lot less money. And it's really gorgeous. But yeah, Niagara Falls is gorgeous. Like you just said, these road trips are great. They're a little less stressful for somebody like you. And it's good that
it's
you know
anal.
That. About yourself. But, you know, if you do travel, you know, on the airplane, which I actually like to do, it is a little bit more stressful now. I mean, a lot more stressful. But if you give yourself enough time, that helps a lot, too.
Yeah.
Having a few tips, you know, when you get to the airport.
Sure.
I have a great tip if you want to hear one.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, this is for Chicagoans, and I'm letting this out of the bag now. I tend to, like, not tell people about this. But if you fly American or United at O'Hare, especially American, you know, there's the... Most people go up the middle to the security aisle.
Sure.
And that's really packed. If you look to the right, there's a secret security aisle, and it looks like it's kind of for pilots or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
I
not.
Know exactly where you
it's
mean.
Not.
That's not for pilots.
But they
it's
walk
not.
Through all uniformed. Do you have to wear a uniform?
Well,
to go
I think
it?
The pilots and the flight attendants know that line. They have priority access too. But yeah, if you go over there to the right, you know,
that'll
you'll
cut
sail
your time
through.
In a fraction.
Yeah.
Or that's fantastic.
Or you can get TSA approved. I don't know if you know about that.
I do know about that.
That's a great thing.
What is that for people listening?
So TSA PreCheck is a program through the government where you actually get approved ahead of time you know, you file an application, you pay $100 over 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that's only $20 a year. And if mm-hmm. you fly a lot, this pays off. And you
business travelers, I'm sure, make that up in a second.
Yes, in a second. So once you get approved by the government, you fill out this form and you get an interview at O'Hare. Mm-hmm. You get what's known as a known traveler number, and that goes into your file. And so on your boarding passes, it'll say that you're TSA approved, and you go into the TSA line, and you don't have to take off your shoes, you don't have to take out your laptop, you can keep your light jacket on, and the line is so much shorter.
Colleen, I enjoy the pat that. Down. Can I still have the pat down if I go through that?
That That's happened my to me about 2 weeks ago.
Did
actually.
It? Yeah.
They took me into a little room and everything.
Really?
Do you know why?
No.
I use lanolin cream,
the hand cream
on my hands.
Yeah.
And it came up as like a something that's an explosive, I guess. And so they took me into the little room.
I think it's because it's ISIS brand hand cream. I think you have to find a different brand.
I know. I felt terrible. I was like, what's going on here?
But I have a question going through security. Now they have the full body scan where you stand there, mm-hmm. like, you know, put your arms up. Mm-hmm. But I have a knee replacement, so I used to have to request that, which was kind of good because I could always, like, get through a little quicker. Yeah. But now everybody does it. Every time I fly, I get pulled aside and they swab my hands with something.
Yes,
what is that and why is it just me?
You know what? It's just random. I don't know. Maybe
every
they just,
time.
You must
you
just
look
come
dangerous.
Up in the system.
I don't
yeah,
look
she
dangerous.
Does look
you
dangerous,
look,
doesn't
she?
She?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Kim, probably it.
Kim Gordon is in the newsroom and we've got Colleen Kelly in the studio. You can watch her on Family Travel with Colleen Kelly on PBS. You can also see her at the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show this weekend at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Kim, did you have a question for Colleen?
I did, Colleen. I also have TSA PreCheck, and the last time I've been to O'Hare, which is just last week and then around Christmas time, the PreCheck lines have been sometimes even longer than the regular lines, and I'm wondering if it's just the time of year or if there's something going on.
You know, that's a really good question. This happened when?
Just
well,
last week.
Christmas week and then just
last week.
We're
still getting off the holidays. I think a lot more people are finding out about TSA pre-approval and filing for it. And it also could be possibly the time of day that you are traveling. I know that if you go early in the morning, that's one of the best times to travel.
It was actually early in the morning both times.
It was early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. It just must have been, could have been one of those days.
Too many people are known about it, I think.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe.
Then you skip the pre-check line and you go to the right. It's an American Airlines and you go in that secret door that I just mentioned.
We were looking at that secret door and everybody was wondering, how do we get to that?
And you just do it?
Well, yeah. I just show my ticket.
And it says secret door on it, right? In real big flashing letters. Is this
it does.
A secret door? Yeah,
it
the one that says
secret
door.
Door.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
312-981-7200 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and spring break is coming up. We have some questions for you, and if listeners do, again, 312-981-7200. If you haven't planned a spring break, is it too late? We'll find out all about that next at 720 WGN.
You know who's here is Colleen Kelly, travel expert and hostess of Family Travel with Colleen Kelly. Season 2 is airing right now over on PBS. So we're talking travel. You have some tips. You have some helpful things that people should know when traveling.
I have some great tips.
What are they, Colleen?
Okay.
Throw them our way.
Well, one of my first tips is if you have a family, don't mm-hmm. overplan. A lot of us, when we go on vacation, especially when we're single, we want to pack everything in.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, that's just never going to happen.
It's unpredictable, isn't it?
It is. And yeah. if you have kids, you know this. So just plan one event when you go out during the day. And if you're able to put in, you know, have a couple more things happen that unexpectedly you can do, great.
Yeah.
But, you know, really just don't overplan. That's one of my big tips.
That's great advice.
You can see in Wendy's eyes. Go on.
And God love my sister. She treated us to Disney, and she was like the Disney Nazi. She was like, we have to do this on this day. And I get it. You're trying to get everything you can. She doesn't have kids. My kids were younger. Sometimes the kids want a day at the pool.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy. Yes.
I did that at Disney. I went to about 2. And then we went to the pool, and they loved it. And then mom and dad were happy.
Oh,
yes. When they're happy, you're happy.
Yes, I was having a vacation too.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So pace yourself. Don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah. That would be a big tip. Would you like more?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I can give you a couple insider tips.
Sure. These are just for insiders now.
Just insiders.
All right.
Yeah. One would be when you go to, you know, by a hotel,
mm-hmm.
try to pick the concierge level to stay at. And if you don't know what that is, that's a special level where you get extra attention. It's usually not that much more, maybe $50, $75 more.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a continental breakfast in the morning. And if you've got four people in a room, mom, dad, and two kids,
yeah.
that'll pay off.
Sure.
And they also have evening cocktails, which helps mothers and
really
family vacations.
I don't know anything about this evening cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
I know about
and
the
hors d'oeuvres.
Breakfast.
Yeah, they
what?
Do. And this is on the concierge level. And mm-hmm. they have a special room that you just go in and have these little extras. It's great. I
and
love
you
it.
Ask when you're checking in, can you, we get a room on the concierge level?
Yeah, and you do have to pay more for it. But, you know,
you get bonuses.
You do. You get a lot of bonuses, get treated really well. And, you know, breakfast is expensive when
yeah,
you have four
sure.
people and you got two little kids that hardly anything.
Right.
Which happens a lot. So that's kind of another tip of mine.
What
that
does continental breakfast mean? I've stayed in so many hotels that say continental breakfast, and it sounds like, oh, I'll be eating like Europeans eat, and it's just like a croissant and some butter.
Yeah,
and
sometimes that is how it is. Yeah, you should ask that question when you check in, I think.
Right.
But a lot of these concierge levels do it really nice. They'll have oatmeal and croissants and cheese and you know, fruit and things like
yeah.
that. So yeah, it's usually
and it's $50 or so more per day or per
yeah,
visit? Yeah, per day.
It depends. Yeah, it's per day.
Yeah.
It depends on each hotel. And it also depends on the season. So if it's kind of an off season, they might work a deal for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really high season, then you probably will pay a little bit more.
All right.
That's kind of to be expected.
That's how it is.
Now, something came up on this show last week about the Illinois driver's license is not going to be good for travel
yes.
anymore. When does that kick in? I thought it was delayed, but now I have a son who's going to Ireland for spring break with his school choir, and I did not have a passport yet, and this is happening like spring break in March.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the post office last Saturday. They said it would arrive in 4 to 6 weeks, probably, but if you paid $60 more, it would be expedited. We
yeah.
did that. It really wasn't that big of an issue. We did have to wait an hour in the post office because everyone's getting their passports now because of this new law.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed any light on this?
Right now that's what Illinois says that they're going to, that's going to happen. And so
our licenses will not be valid for travel to other countries at some point.
Well, that's how it always is. You need a passport to go to other countries.
Well,
but they're saying,
oh, just for domestic flights?
Yeah, domestic.
You know, I've heard that as well. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. That seems kind of hard because that would require a lot of people to get passports.
Right.
And it would require everybody to get passports. It's
yeah.
expensive. And
$110 expedited, $60 more.
Very expensive. And if you are a person that never wants to travel internationally, then, you know, you're putting out that money for, you know, just to travel domestically. However, it might be a situation that's how it turns into because, you know, with the world it is today, you may have to have a passport.
I don't
so
recall.
Right now we're on the fence. I don't really know exactly what's going to happen with that.
I could have sworn going to Mexico with the kids and stuff, you just would have needed their birth certificate.
It used to be. Canada and Mexico.
Yeah,
they
and more. You have to have your passport. And yeah, you have
and
to
kids are only good, for, I think, for 5 years because they, unless they're over 16, then it's 10 years like everyone else.
Exactly.
Because kids change so much.
In mine, I just found out I was going to Quebec City in February.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a 10-year passport. My children had 5, but I kept thinking, oh, theirs was good for 10 years.
Right.
I looked down and their passport expires in April.
Oh.
Well, the hard part about a lot of people will think, okay, if you're going in February and it expires in April, you're fine.
Right.
But actually, a lot of countries require that it is valid within 6 months of you leaving. So,
although
reason,
I've
why?
Read that that's not true anymore.
That's not true with certain countries.
Okay.
So I did find out that if you call the passport office, that certain countries require only that is valid when you enter that country. But
mm-hmm.
you don't want to find that out when you're in the airport.
I got to call Ireland. Get Ireland on
yeah,
the
Ireland's
phone.
Okay. You're good.
Okay.
You're good there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the safe ones. You had a cruise that you wanted to talk about. Is that is
specials?
That,
travel
yes,
specials.
We have some. Okay, at the Travel Adventure Show, which is this weekend. First
mm-hmm.
of all, there's over 1,200 speakers and experts on hand for people to talk to about specials and deals and tips.
Great.
And a ton of you know, speakers. Rick Steves is going to be there. Pauline Frommer, Johnny Jett,
mm-hmm.
and Peter Greenberg, and me.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all going to be talking about different topics. But there's some amazing travel deals too. And right now we're in the middle of winter, so it's great to kind of dream about that. And let me tell
it
you
is.
About a couple.
Right.
Here's one: if you like skiing and you
yeah.
like sun, Arizona Snowball Ski and Stay has a ski and stay free offer. This is a promotion based out of Flagstaff. And for the cost of 2 adult ski lift tickets, $138, you get your hotel stay free. Children's lift tickets can be purchased separately, and up to 4 people can stay in a room.
Oh.
And there's tons of hotels to choose from. And Flagstaff is only an hour and a half from the Grand Canyon, 45 minutes north of Sedona, which is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of national monuments. So that's a really good deal for, you know, being in the sun and then skiing,
too. It is.
Too,
does
is
it say cool. when it starts and ends?
Yeah, it actually, it's available through April 2, 2016. So if you book now, I mean, two adult lift tickets, $138, and you get your hotel.
That's pretty good.
Free.
That's not a bad deal
cool.
at all.
And then there's a 7-night Allure of the Seas cruise. You buy one, you get one half off. And I've also heard if you go on the Travel and Adventure show that actually some of these deals are even steeper.
Oh, are they?
So if you go there, it's, you might even get a better deal. But this is an awesome deal. This AAA is a 7-night cruise on the Allure of the Seas. It's Royal Caribbean's largest ship in the world. You buy one, you get one half off, and the total cost for two is $1,735.54. And you get an inside stateroom. But this also includes $76 of shipboard credits,
mm-hmm.
which you could use for spas or drinks and all sorts of fun things.
Let's go on a cruise, Bill.
I want to go. You talk me in. Colleen, is it double occupancy? I always like to ask that question. Is it double occupancy?
Good point. It's a cost for two.
All right.
Can I give you some passport information? Somebody went to get their passport. They were told 4 to 6 weeks, like I was, mm-hmm. and they got it in 2 weeks, and perhaps I shouldn't have paid for the expedited passport.
That's fast.
Although it's getting busier, and someone who works at the passport office just texted us. He or she is a passport agent. January 2018 is when passports will be required on all domestic flights.
Thank you for that. I'm glad they just wrote in. That's great.
Yeah, because I knew it was coming. I knew it was delayed, but we have until 2018.
It's coming soon, though.
So get your passport now.
I would say, get it now. And like you just mentioned, it came within 2 weeks. That can happen. But for peace of mind's sake, sometimes
that's what I said.
That
even the lady at the post office said, I said, can you guarantee it's going to be here? What if it doesn't? And she said, well, you know, a week before the trip, here's a website. I said, I don't want to deal with that.
No.
Yeah. She goes, then pay the $60. You'll sleep better.
Yeah, that's about it. You're right. Correct.
Colleen,
I have one more deal.
Go quick.
Of a deal?
This is the best deal of the deal.
Oh,
what is it?
This one's incredible.
What is it?
Okay, this is also AAA,
mm-hmm.
a 3-night Bahamas cruise from Miami to Coco Cay, and this is Royal Caribbean's private island,
mm-hmm.
and a visit to Nassau, Bahamas. January 2017, departure prices start at $198.50.
They're losing money on this.
I know.
They can't possibly be turning a
profit on
this.
I know. I want to buy this. I want to buy it for my mother and sisters.
Is it double occupancy? Because your mom and I would have a great time in the Bahamas if she wants to come with me. Love that.
Per person.
Yeah?
Per person.
You can watch Family Travel with Colleen Kelly. Season 2 is airing now. It's on our local PBS here.
Yes, it's on our local PBS. It's actually in reruns right now, but this spring it should be airing the next season.
Good.
Her name is Colleen Kelly. Oddly enough, Family Travel with Colleen Kelly. And you can also go see her at the Chicago Travel and Adventure Show. Are you going to be there all weekend?
I'm going to be there on Saturday at 12:15. I'll be speaking, and I would love to talk to people. It would be great. If they have any questions, I'm available afterwards to answer. So it's going to
that's
be
fun. Very accommodating.
And that's in Rosemont.
Oh, well, very much so. My Chicagoans.
Travelshows.com has all your information, and then Family Travel CK, because it's Louis CK's brother. FamilyTravelCK.com has the rest. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank
great
you.
To see you.
Thanks,
happy
Wendy.
Travels. Safe
thank
travels.
You.
Yeah.
You too.
All right. News is next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
Wendy, did you hear the language that our friend Dean Richards used the other day on Steve Cochran's show?
Yes, I did.
Just went into a swearing tirade. I never heard anything like it.
I'm proud of you, Dean.
It's my new thing now. I'm like the Richard Pryor of WGN hosts.
Yes, you are. In a lot of ways. In many, many ways. Well, try your best to keep it clean during this segment.
I cannot guarantee that.
All right, that's
fine.
I'm
ready on the button, so.
I cannot guarantee. Yeah, well, a little faster than Steve was, apparently.
A lot faster.
We now call it the Dean button instead of the dump button.
Nice.
Dean, before we talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend, we would be remiss if we didn't discuss what's going on in Hollywood. A lot of talk about boycotting the Oscars.
What?
Over the last... Yeah, it's
what?
I saw it in the paper.
Get
it was in the paper.
Here. What?
Put it in the paper.
National Enquirer?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Actually, you know, interesting... Nobody has really called for a boycott, per se. It's been Spike Lee who has said that he's not going to go. It's been Jada Pinkett Smith who said that she's not going to go, and some others.
Don Cheadle.
Who have said, Don Cheadle has said it.
Hey, is Will Smith going?
No.
Will Smith this morning in an interview said that, wouldn't it be funny if he showed up with Charlize Theron?
He would get the crap beat out of him by Jada.
Yeah, he said he's not going to go either. But nobody is, you know, nobody is saying, I urge the film community to not go to the Oscars. That's been, I think, a convenient way of reporting what's happening. But it's just really a bunch of people who are saying, I am making a personal choice to not attend the Oscars because of the, you know, a lack of diversity in this year's nominees. And, you know, it's easily the number one topic on my social media this week. People commenting about it, you know, and people not understanding what a problem this is. I mean, George Clooney did an interview yesterday where he talked about how the film industry has actually gone backwards in the last 10 years, that they did a better job with diversity 10 years ago than they're doing right now. And I think that everybody's just a little surprised that now for 2 years in a row, 2 years, not one single person of color has been nominated in any of the acting categories. Where, when you look at the Golden Globes, when you look at the Screen Actors Guild nominations, when you looked at the Writers Guild, the Producers Guild, many of the critics, virtually all of the critics' organizations have found people of color to nominate this year.
But Dean, there's more categories in those awards. They separate comedy and drama, and that opens up five more slots for men and five more slots for women.
Well, that's true. I don't think that, you know, that's the reason that this isn't happening, though, why the nominations aren't happening for the Academy. I think there's a more diverse nominating body, a body of people who actually, you know, vote for the nominations. You know, for the Academy Awards, it's 94% white.
Yeah.
It's 77% male. The average age of an Academy voter is 62 years old. And for only 14% of that Academy is under 50 years old.
So old, you know, cranky white guys.
It's old cranky white guys. It's old white guys for sure, you know, that are doing the nominating. You know, did they even watch Straight Out of Compton? You know, and would they appreciate what a powerful story that is? You know, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm not even saying that they're racist.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that they're not even looking at, you know, or appreciating some of these films for what they are because they come from a different world. It's like a restricted country club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a certain number of people, you know, in order to get into the Academy, you have to go back to this group of old white guys to get nominated to even get in the Academy in the first place. So, you know, to even try to change it is difficult. That's why the president of the Academy has said they need to look at the way this whole thing is structured. You know, George Clooney and many of the others have said there are some inherent problems with this voting process. I think that's where the problem is. I don't think that you're necessarily looking at a racist, you know, community and people saying, we are going to keep the black man down. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
I think this is just a system that's flawed. The voting system is flawed.
But, Dean, the big question now is we've had 2 years of this where it's been all white nominees. So a year from now, when the films are all out and people are looking at a ballot for who to nominate, do you think this will influence anybody and say, well, we've had 2 years with no black actors or actresses, so I'm between this actor and this actor. I really should give it to the black actor because it's really been a couple of years and we need to figure this out.
I don't know. I mean, people should be voting based on what they think is the strongest performance and the strongest product.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way that it should be. But if your world, you know, if you're a 75-year-old white male who hasn't even been in the film business for 30 years, which, believe me, is a lot of people in the Academy.
Right.
Are you even going to consider Idris Elba, whose one of his performance this year was one of the best? Are you even going to consider the director of Creed, Ryan Coogler, that was one of the best directing jobs of the year? Are you even going to consider some of these performances that have been acknowledged by virtually every other award group except the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Idris Elba, and you said his performance was fantastic. What about Will Smith? I mean, was
I thought Will? You know, that's the thing about this. You know, we're talking about performances. We're not talking about you know, something which you can measure objectively. You know, some people gave Will Smith's movie Concussion a good review. I did. I liked it very much. Others did not. You know, we're talking about art, you know, and some people are going to like certain performances better than others will. But I think, you know, if I were going to put together a list of nominations, I would have certainly included Will Smith's in it because I thought his performance was one of the best of the year. Now, would I have looked at that list and go, oh, wait, now I've only got, you know, I've got one Hispanic and I've got two African-Americans. I wouldn't have looked at it that way. I just would have looked at the list and said, I like these performances best.
Yeah.
And well, you shouldn't look at it that way.
No,
it
you should, shouldn't. You know? No, you shouldn't. The nominations for these things should not be affirmative action, but also a group of people should not be excluded because of a faulty voting process either. And I think that's what it is. I think if you ask almost anybody who is involved in this and who understands this process, they'll tell you that's what it is. Director John Singleton, who was the first African-American to be nominated for Best Director for Boys in the Hood in 1991, he's had one of the most interesting comments. He said, hey, there are only so many slots with this, but the voting system is flawed.
Whoopi Goldberg said essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And she's won an Academy Award, and she said the same thing. What are you going to do? You get five places to
right.
vote for somebody. That's it. All right, Dean, hold tight for just a little bit. We've got Dean Richards on. He'll tell you about the movies coming out this weekend next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is here. We're talking about films. Let's go over what's coming out this week, Dean, if you wouldn't mind. 45 hours. What are we getting with 45 hours?
If you don't mind, I first just want to point out that I've been on the air with you guys for, what, 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
12 minutes. No swearing.
Not a single swear word.
You're doing
Thank you
well.
For that. You're doing great.
Okay. Opening this week, well, first of all, we've got a couple of movies that are not being screened for the critics.
Always a good sign.
What could they possibly be hiding with something like that? I don't know. It's this Zac Efron, Robert De Niro movie, Dirty Grandpa,
mm-hmm.
where a grandfather and his grandson go on spring break is what the trailer looks like. To me, you're on your own with that one, Wendy. I don't want to point
I saw Weekend at Bernie's. I don't need to see this.
I don't want to point any fingers at anybody.
Dean, aren't you a little disappointed? Robert De Niro is one of the greatest actors that's ever been on film ever. Why would he resort to this? And I know the answer is money, but he must have some cash in the bank somewhere. Why would he do this?
I could not even tell you. As so many of the artists have pointed out to me when I've asked similar questions, we all have mortgages to pay.
Yeah, I guess.
Was he good in The Intern? Because he just seems to want to be working with these young hip people now.
Maybe that's it. I mean, you know, maybe he just wants to be associated with, you know, some of the younger artists now so they know who he is. It was okay in The Intern. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it was fine. You know, it was harmless. But when you think about, you know, a De Niro from Raging Bull, when you think about De Niro from some of his amazing, amazing dramatic performances, it makes me sad when he appears in movies like that. That said, it very well could be the number one movie of the weekend.
Oh, all right.
God, what has happened to this world?
Come Monday morning, because you know, people are going to see those names, and you know, it seems like a raunchy R-rated comedy, so they may go and see it. Same with what looks to be a horror film called The Boy.
Oh, I want to see that. They didn't screen that?
Oddly, did not screen that one. They often don't screen the horror films for the critics. Oh. They know we're all very sensitive.
Yeah, sure.
We get scared easily.
Yep.
These are films that really these are films that are, as they call, critic proof.
Yeah,
doesn't really make a bit of difference what the critics are going to go say. People are, if you like horror movies, you're going to go see it regardless. This is about a young girl who's hired to be a caretaker of a young boy of a couple. Mm-hmm. The young boy is a puppet.
Yeah,
he's not real.
What?
Most of the time, apparently.
Right. Oh, is this the one you were telling
me
about?
Yeah, with Lauren Cohen from Walking Dead. She's in this. Yeah.
So there you go. So you've got those. Not screened for the critics. Screened for the critics this week, there is the film that's called 45 Hours. This is the film for which Charlotte Rampling was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress of the Year. It's a small British film. about a couple who are about to celebrate their 45th wedding anniversary as they're getting ready, you know, making plans, you know, getting set for a big party that they're going to throw. A secret is disclosed that kind of upsets the apple cart. It upsets the apple cart and the plans. And this is a simple story about how this couple that's been together for all of these years, how something that's come up in the storyline completely changes the dynamic of their relationship. But it's done with a dignity and a sort of a minimalistic style that is amazing. This is a film, I think, where the performances are a lot better than the film itself. I liked the film. I didn't love the film, mm-hmm. but I did love the performances in here. Not only Charlotte Rampling, but her co-star, the man who plays her husband in the film, Tom Courtenay.
He's always good.
I don't know either of these two. I'm sorry.
Charlotte Rampling was really popular like 25 years ago and just kind of fell off the map, but she does good work.
Wasn't she in Georgie Girl? I remember her from a lot of old British...
I know her from Orca the Killer Whale many years ago.
Oh, I saw that. Okay.
Did you see she was in that?
Was she the little girl?
No, she wasn't the little
girl. Was she the whale?
No, she wasn't either of those two characters. No.
Okay. She's very good in this movie, so I gave this one a Dean's List B.
Oh, all right.
The kind of mainstream movie of the weekend is called The Fifth Wave. This is a post-apocalyptic world is about to end story. Everything's hunky-dory in this lovely little Ohio community until, and don't you hate when this happens, a spaceship shows up and is hovering over your town.
Yep.
They have to ruin everything.
That takes out the power in the entire world, launches disease in the entire world. Bill, Wendy, they're wiping out humanity is what they're doing.
A remake of Mars Attacks.
thank goodness for the young people and the teenagers who are in this film. Who fight back yep. this strange, mysterious force, whatever it is. In the movie, they're called the Others.
Mm-hmm.
But Chloe Grace Moretz is probably the biggest name in this film. Fighting back this alien force who have robbed her from her family and her way of life. It's actually a little bit of a white knuckler.
Is it?
Yeah. The movie along the way doesn't really hold together. I'm going to say when the Earth is under attack, and complete annihilation is mm-hmm. literally hours away. Probably not the best time for a makeout scene with some cute
might
guy.
Might be your last.
Well, that, I guess if you have your priorities there. But I'm going to say I'm going to try to stay alive more than make some time with
all right.
Cutie McCutington in the
That's
movie.
The character's name is
That's
Cutie McCutington.
That's all his right. actual name right. in the film. I gave this one a C+.
All right. That's not terrible.
Not terrible.
That's not awful.
I was entertained.
But 45 hours getting very good reviews from you, a B on that one, huh?
Really, it's, yeah. And as I say, the performances are stunning to watch. The story is just very simple.
Good.
It's, you know, it's a British drama. Doesn't have the usual conventions that a lot of dramas have. It's just a very, very simply told story. But with an awful lot of dimension. So
excellent.
So you know you've got all of those to go see.
Dean, thank you for getting through the whole half hour without a single swear word.
Hey,
right?
We're not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Bye. Careful. See ya.
Just in time.
I got him.
All right, we'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks a lot. Hi, everybody. It's the second version of our show, the second half of our show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Today's show will feature Canhead at 1:35.
Bill, the last time I saw you this excited, I'd almost say maybe Norman Lear when we were going to talk to him.
I was very excited to talk to Norman Lear.
You're more excited to talk to Canhead.
I've never talked to Canhead before, and for people who are unfamiliar with what Canhead has the ability to do, he can have like cans or bottles full of liquid or empty.
It's they bottles, just,
yeah,
too?
Yep.
Well, why isn't that Bottlehead?
That's a silly name, isn't it? Would you go by the name Bottlehead? I wouldn't. But Canhead has the uncanny ability.
I see what you did there.
To make things that hold liquid stick to his head magically, effortlessly. I don't know. Nobody knows how he does it. It's a mystery.
They're sure empty? He doesn't have a magnet in his forehead?
I don't think so, Kim. I don't think he does.
He's in the green room. I can't
wait
to
see. For me and let me know?
We can ask him, but I think it sticks to other parts of his head. Like he would have to have his whole head magnetized. And that's not, I mean, cost effective, is it? That would cost you a fortune.
It sticks to his hands, too. Yeah. Are these full beverages?
They can be, but not necessarily.
Can I see what you're doing?
They have the ability to be, but it's a miracle. And he'll come on and he'll do a demonstration for us.
I'm very scared. First of all, here's a warning to you and Kevin. And Kim, if you come down here, do not put your cell phone near him.
Is that true?
Well, there was something in the old school of radio called a bulk eraser.
Oh, and, I remember bulk erasers.
I remember those, too. Yes. I was so afraid of those things. Like, it would do something terrible to me.
Well, it would wreck your watch.
Would it really?
Oh,
yeah,
because there's a, it demagnetizes a tape cartridge,
yeah,
which we used in the old days of radio, and you would run it over the bulk eraser, and you would be scared to have your watch near it, and certainly there weren't very many cell phones. In fact, when I used a bulk eraser, I think that I had a car-mounted cell phone.
Oh, so it's that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think he, although he had to hold a button to make it bulk erase, so I don't know if he has a button, but I am not keeping any of my electronics near him.
With good reason. You don't want any mishaps, but Canhead will be on at 1:35, and all I can say, Wendy, is thank goodness he uses his powers for good and not evil. Because what kind of a world would this be if Canhead went rogue on us and just started doing awful things? Let's talk to him. That's at 1:35.
It would be trending, that's sure.
It sure would be. It absolutely would be. Now, here's some big news from the world of show business. Of all the comics working today, I would say the best year, last year, 2015, would probably have gone to Amy Schumer. Wouldn't you agree?
Trainwreck was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I had heard about her, and I had wanted to see her Amy Schumer show. What is that called? Being Amy Schumer?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I
never
sure.
watched an episode.
Yeah.
I wanted to. I didn't. I went to see Trainwreck. I fell in love.
Yeah. She's very funny. She does great stand-up. She's a really good actress. She hosted Saturday Night Live. A lot of people who had never heard of Amy Schumer all of a sudden were very aware of her. She had a really good year. Now comes word from several different comedians that Amy Schumer is stealing material, that she is doing their jokes.
I have a problem with this because, you know, funny people can sometimes come up with the same thing.
Right. That's true.
Isn't it? Honestly, you did stand-up for years, 10 years. You know a lot of stand-up comics.
There's no question that when something happens in the news, you're looking for some angle, some way to make fun of it. And many, many, many times, various people have thought of things that are extremely similar. Doesn't mean they're stealing it. It just means they're trying to find how to make it a setup punchline type joke.
Right.
And you come up with a very similar thing.
Don't you find sometimes when you have either thought it or said it on the air, some joke about current events, and then it surfaces in some way, shape, or form on Weekend Update?
Oh, I can't tell you how many times we've said something on the show, and I'll be watching Jimmy Kimmel or Fallon or like you said, Saturday Night Live, and you go, wow, that's almost the exact same thing. And one night when I was doing overnights, I don't remember what the topic was, but I did something. It went on for like 2 or 3 minutes, and my nephew said, oh, I guess you saw that on Conan O'Brien. And I had not seen Conan O'Brien, but then I went back and watched the tape, and there were 3 or 4 things that were like, wow, that's almost exactly the same.
So what do you attribute that to? Because I know off the air you tell everybody that people are stealing your material.
Right. I do. I do.
No, you don't.
When I did stand up, there were several different times that I'd be in a club and I'd hear a guy in front of me do one of my jokes or something. And then you're forced to try to confront them and say,
"Is
hey,
that, and you know for a fact it's your joke?"
Yeah. When the Improv was in Chicago, they did a thing once before a show where they had it was like an amateur final. So they had 3 guys. I guess they had previous rounds, and then the winner of round 1, round 2, and round 3 all got to square off, and they had that as part of a show that I was on. And I hadn't seen any of these 3 guys before. And one of the guys did all my material, like everything
what?
He did. And his friend said to me backstage, because I heard the first joke, and I'm like, wow, that's similar to one of mine. And then the second joke was exactly like something I wrote. And then the third one, and his friend's back there, and he goes, oh, boy, Carl's going to be thrilled that you're here. And I go, why? And he goes, he loves you. He's seen you a dozen times.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So did you say anything to
him? Yeah.
What do you say?
I said, you know, if you want to have a future in this, I appreciate you admiring what I've written, but you really have to make this your own. And he didn't kind of understand that. So it was awful, frustrating.
Where is he now?
I have no idea what ended up happening.
Okay, so he never, like, you know, it's
I have no idea. I wrote it. There's a joke that I wrote that has been in books attributed to other people, and I absolutely wrote it. I used to do this long thing. Remember the thing you'd get when you were a kid that had a penny and it would tell you all the differences between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy? Do you remember that thing?
No. Was it on a cardboard or something?
Yeah. It was a penny on there, and it would tell you all the different similarities between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. Like, Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
I remember that bit that I've heard everywhere.
I wrote that. That's all me, 100% me. But I've seen it published in books and attributed to other people. I wrote that word for word.
The whole thing?
Yeah. I didn't write the original. I wrote the jokes about it. I didn't write the serious part about, you know, he was born in 1812, he was born in 1912. I didn't write any of that.
But the Kennedy, the secretary named Kennedy?
I don't remember how the bit goes now, but it ends with, how does it end? It's Lincoln was in Monroe, Maryland when he died. Kennedy was in Marilyn Monroe when he died. Like that. It's all
you
stuff.
You wrote that?
That's all. I wrote that.
Bill, I'm telling you, I've heard everybody use that.
I know.
That.
That's what I mean. And now it's even harder.
Holy
because
crap.
Of, like, when I was doing stand-up, people weren't going in with phones and taping entire stand-up bits, and there was no YouTube. But now, like, if you're a working comic now, everything you write is all of a sudden on the internet. So guys are stealing from you left and right. My friends that still do stand-up say, no matter what you do, you can't prevent it. Every once in a while, when I was doing clubs, you'd see a guy in a club with a tape recorder taping your show. And we'd always say to the bouncers,
seriously?
You got to get that guy out of here. He can't be taping shows. But now people just hold up their phones. They tape the whole show in a club.
Why would a comic just starting out steal someone else's material?
Because all of a sudden they're like catapulted. They've got better material, even though they didn't
but
write it.
But the cream rises to the top.
You would hope.
Do you know somebody who's really famous who's notorious for stealing material?
Yeah, I could give you a list of people. Dane Cook, Carlos Mencia. I hate to say it, but Robin Williams was one of the big... This is awful to say, but it's true. Anyone working stand-up will tell you, if Robin Williams ever saw you doing stand-up, he would retain one or two of your jokes, and then you'd see him on The Tonight Show. He'd do those jokes. I can't even tell you how many guys are like, he just stole my whole used car thing. I used to do this whole used car thing.
Seriously?
He just did it on TV. Yeah. And he would acknowledge it. He used to write checks. Guys would come up and they go, hey, Robin, I saw you do this thing where... And he would just take out his checkbook. He'd write you a check, apologize, and hand you the check.
So does that make it better? Because
no.
I don't think he did it intentionally. I mean, you hear things in the course of your day, whether it be from the guy you buy a newspaper from or at the dry cleaner.
Right.
Well, dry cleaners aren't usually that funny. But, you know.
Some of them.
Throughout your day, you hear something, and sometimes you retain it, and you don't know where you heard it.
Do you remember we had Rick Overton on about a year ago? We were on location, and Rick Overton came on with us. Rick Overton's a stand-up comic. He's been in 100 movies.
I do remember
him. He was
him.
One of Robin Williams' best
yes,
friends.
Yes, I remember him.
He always talks about how Robin Williams had what he called his collective or his brain collective, which is things are in his head, and he doesn't know if he said them or you said them. He just knows they're floating around in his brain. So when he's on stage and he's looking for something fast, he would just go for a line or go for a concept or a bit. And if it was yours, sorry.
I believe that everybody does that, though, not to that extent. Like, again, if somebody, you know, at your 7-Eleven is really funny and says something to you,
right.
Maybe later on that day or next week, you remember that and you say it to someone.
It's possible.
But here's what I would do. I'm way too honest. I would be like, oh, my God, you know what the guy at 7-Eleven told me?
Right.
I would. No, I would never claim it as my own.
That's the thing. If you cite your sources, and you can't do this when you're doing stand-up.
That would suck. As Bill Leff once
right.
said, that
right.
would really suck for him.
Yeah.
Be great for you.
Right. It would be. All right. So I'll tell you about this. Now, this is a miracle. There was a tape of Amy Schumer doing stand-up, and then the people that are saying that she stole their act, and they're right next to each other. So you have this woman, Kathleen Madigan. She does a joke, and then you see Amy Schumer's version. Then you go to Wendy Liebman and the same thing. But I'll tell you what happened. Very mysterious. Something happened to this tape. All right.
Because
it is not right. Whatever it is not right. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Is the hottest comic working today stealing material from other comedians? Three different comics. Now, I know two of these women. I know Wendy Liebman. I've interviewed her. And Kathleen Madigan, I used to work with. Tammy Pescatelli, I've seen on television, but I don't know. All three of them claim that Amy Schumer is stealing jokes, stealing bits from them. And then there's a fourth comic, Patrice O'Neill, who, despite the name, is a man and no longer with us, died a couple of years ago, very sadly, way too young. But somebody made a tape of these jokes. So what you see is you see Wendy Liebman doing the joke 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. Then you see Amy Schumer doing essentially the same joke. Then you see Patrice O'Neill doing one of his jokes. Then you see Amy Schumer doing essentially the same joke. You can easily make the argument, well, anything's fair game. It's just two minds thinking alike. But I have to say, I watched this last night. It's very, very similar. It's not the same, but it's extremely similar bits.
Well, I would imagine if you're going to steal somebody's material, wouldn't you change it around a little bit and make it your own?
Although Carlos Mencia never did that.
I've never seen him.
He's got a lot of stuff that's borrowed, quote unquote, a lot.
I don't even really know his name, and I have to be honest with you, I certainly don't know any of these women's names.
Oh, you don't?
Names.
No.
But I'm not a former comic like you are, and your stand-up was fantastic.
Oh, that's nice of you.
But
thank
you. I had known you before I had seen you do stand-up comedy. Yeah. I met you to be on the radio with
you.
Yeah. And then we did some appearance where you were performing and you were fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
But what made you rise above the rest is you were never dirty.
No, I kept it really clean.
So
I did.
It shocks me that this kid would rip you off, because
right,
really
right.
Most stand-up comics were filthy.
I always wrote stuff, and I'm not the only one who did this. You'd write stuff having it TV ready, like if they liked me, I could put
very
whatever
smart
I was doing on television. Although now, with satellite and cable, you can swear anyway or do whatever you want. So what did I know? Now, my goal in all this was to play the tape for you of the original jokes and then Amy Schumer's version of the jokes. But somehow, conveniently, it's no longer on the internet. I found it on Huffington Post yesterday. It was on Reddit last night. It was all over the place yesterday. It has conveniently disappeared from the internet, which I didn't think was possible. I thought if something was on the internet, it was on the internet for keeps. It's not. It's gone. How did that happen?
Because I don't know that it's true. And I don't know who's behind it. All I know is this, according to the Entero Bang. The headline, Amy Schumer accused of stealing jokes by Wendy Liebman, Kathleen Madigan, and Tammy Pescatelli on Twitter. They allegedly tweeted these things.
Yeah.
And you have their tweets, right? I mean, they did it.
Yeah. Yesterday, Wendy Liebman wrote this. Wendy Liebman, another comic, very funny comic, says, between Amy Schumer doing one of my best jokes on her HBO special and this meme of my joke, I am done with social media. The problem is she put that on Twitter, which I believe qualifies as social media. So I'm not sure if
well,
she's
Well, she was
sticking
done after that.
Oh, maybe that was her very last one. I also want to point this out. My goal, as I said, was to play these back to back. I'd play the original joke and then Amy Schumer's version of the joke. And there were 6 of them, I think.
Well, the link has been taken down.
The link is down. But I could have only, in all honesty, played one on the air. The rest of them were all pretty dirty. One of them was fairly clean, but the rest of them not really right for air.
Okay.
But they're all off the internet. I can't find them.
Well, so 3 of those comedians that we mentioned accusing Amy Schumer of stealing their jokes. And now a story update, and this is dated yesterday, the 20th. All 3 women have since deleted their tweets, and Amy has responded and tweeted that she would never, ever steal jokes and also spoke out explaining where her jokes came from. Amy Liebman also claimed her original statement with
Wendy Liebman.
Oh, it says Amy. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
Wendy Liebman also clarified her original statement with a tweet that said she never said Amy stole her joke. She just said it was the same and that she wrote it first. Well,
that's kind of
accusing someone of
right.
stealing them.
Right.
But yeah, they have taken down the tweets. They have taken down their tweets.
They're all gone. I think it comes down to this. I think it looks like if you're one of these lesser known comics, and they're all very funny. Wendy Liebman, Tammy Pescatelli, and Kathleen Madigan are all very, very funny, but they're not as well known as Amy Schumer. So maybe they're perceived as something of a, it's like a sour apples case. Like, oh, she got famous doing that joke. I never did. That kind of thing. Is that what it is?
It sure seems like it. And Amy Schumer responded on Twitter, as I mentioned, saying she would never steal the joke. She then went on Jim Norton's advice show podcaster to clear the air and talk about the allegations for an hour, saying she was willing to take a polygraph test to prove she didn't steal the jokes. Schumer addressed older accusations that she stole a bit from Patrice O'Neill, saying she never saw the bit, she never saw Tammy Pascatelli's special, and she said she never saw Kathleen Madigan do the slap joke that she was accused of stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Schumer said, quote, both Kathleen and Wendy know me, and they don't believe I would do that. I think this was Tammy trying to get something going. She then explained where the ideas came from for all the bits mentioned in the tweets. Wendy Liebman, who posted the original tweet that started the entire conversation, as I mentioned, said she deleted the tweet, and she tweeted that she never said Amy stole her joke, just said Amy did the same joke and wanted it to be clear that she wrote it first. But that is saying
that
she,
is kind, yeah. I'll explain the slap thing really quickly. Kathleen Madigan used to do this joke, and there's tape of it. I watched it last night. Talking about this thing called the Slap Chef, where they should make this thing where you have the ability to cook food in your home, but then the Slap Chef, as you're eating it, slaps it out of your face. Like, you can't have that. That's bad for you. It's too fat for you. You can't have that. And then she acts it out. And then on Amy Schumer's show, it was a scene, Slap Chef, that was exactly that.
And she called it Slap Chef?
Yeah. It was identical.
Because people have been saying, slap that out of my hand
right.
for years. But if she
but
said
the word
slap chef
is problematic.
Seems suspect. Later in the conversation, Amy Schumer explained why she blocked Tammy Pescatelli. Now her name is changing. Wasn't it Pescatori?
No, Pescatelli.
Okay. Amy Schumer goes on the Jim Norton show explaining why she blocked Tammy Pescatelli on Twitter years ago. Amy seemed to blame Tammy Pescatelli for the trouble, although it was Liebman who posted the first tweet and implied that Pescatelli is jealous of Amy's success. Amy also talked about the tweet she sent responding to 17-year-old reporter Lights Camera Jackson that has been in the news and talked about defending, I don't know about this, calling for someone to be fired. But she claims she blocked Tammy Pescatelli, and this was kind of Tammy Pescatelli's doing. Because, well, I don't know, but again, who's Tammy Pescatelli?
Yeah, like I said.
You know Amy Schumer.
A good comic, but not as well known. And you don't want to think this is true. Amy Schumer is really, really good at what she does. So you say to yourself, how could she think of that many original things? Why would she fall back on 5 or 6 or 7 stolen things?
I don't believe she stole it.
No? I'm not sure. When you see him back to back, you go, oh, boy, that is really close.
It was pretty convincing in the video. It was,
really?
I was shocked.
Yeah, it's like you go, wow, it's not word for word, but the idea structure is so close on all of them.
Why do I believe everyone?
I don't know.
That's what it is, Steve. Duped and bamboozled my whole life.
Well, after the news, you are not going to be duped or bamboozled. You know why, Wendy? Because Canhead is here.
Will you stop being so excited?
It's exciting. I saw him in the green room.
Yep.
I saw someone else who used to stick a can on their head. I think he stole his act from someone.
We'll talk to him about that. We'll
and
find
I'm kidding,
out.
Canhead.
Don't anger Canhead, Wendy. The news and then Canhead with us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Wendy, you know this better than anybody. Every day, you and I come in and we do the show. We do two shows.
I'm just laughing at Canhead. I'm sorry.
And we get texts and we get email and we get all the old-fashioned mail, and they all say the same thing. We enjoy the show, but why don't you ever have anybody on who has the ability to make cans and bottles stick to their head? And today, that's all going to change. Sitting right across from us, Jamie Keaton, but you know him best as Canhead, the man who has the uncanny ability to make things stick to his body. Hi, how are you,
Hi,
Canhead?
How are
nice
you guys
to see you.
Today?
We're mystified. We're befuddled.
Befuddled.
You have to talk right into that microphone.
All right.
And I found something out that I'm really jealous. I'm always jealous of Robin Baumgarten on WGN TV News
right.
in the morning. Did you really stick a bottle of vodka to your head and pour Robin a glass of vodka this morning?
Yeah, I poured a bottle of Absolute off my head.
I saw that happen, by the
way. Okay, why didn't anybody bring some vodka in or a beer?
They told me you couldn't handle it.
Oh, them is fighting words, buddy. I'll stick you to my can.
Wow. Wow.
So I just move them around on you.
Wow.
All right, so to explain it, and the lovely Kristen Decker is here taking some video. Also, we are live streaming. If you go to WGNradio.com and click Watch Now, you can do it. But for those people who aren't viewing this, Bill, why don't you describe Jamie's head?
Jamie came in, has what I would call a human head, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a human head.
It's a little bit bigger than normal, but it's
right.
a human head.
Right. And on Jamie's human head, said he currently has 2 soda pop cans and 1 can of Fisher Nuts affixed to his head by no other means other than just, and now you've added a 4th one. Is that a Fiji water?
Yeah. Fiji water.
All right. And they're just magically sticking to your head. That's impossible. Gravity doesn't let that happen.
Oh, it's impossible for a normal human being, but for me, it's an everyday life. My skin literally acts like suction cups, so things just stick to me.
I did notice, Jamie, Canhead Keaton in the studio, you put a can on your the palm of your hand.
Yes.
And it's stuck to it. See, it leaves a mark. So this is like, it's not a magnet. This is suction.
It's pure suction. And what's really funny is when I release it, I can shoot it across rooms and stuff like here.
Go ahead. I'm ready. Oh, yeah. That's just shot it at me.
Just like Spider-Man, but not.
Right.
It's no web. It's a hand.
So as a child, there must have been a time where you realized you were slightly different from the other kids who don't have this ability.
It was around 7 years old. My toys started sticking to me, but my parents thought it was because I climbed pine trees as a kid. They thought it was just a pine sap and said, don't worry about it.
Really?
Yeah. Until I got a little older and I shaved my head for the first time, that's when I started to realize I can stick things everywhere.
What was the first thing that stuck to your head? What toy? Do you even remember?
It was actually a Star Wars figure.
Oh. Good for you. May the Force be with you.
Thank you. I'm actually on the dark side, I think.
I don't know, because you're not using this for evil. You're using it for good. It makes people laugh and smile and feel good.
Exactly. That's what that's one of the reasons I keep doing it. A lot of people would put me down saying, hey, I'll quit doing that, that's stupid or something. I was like, well, it makes people laugh. Why should I stop? And actually, one day I was walking down Michigan Avenue, and a lady was walking past me. She looked real sad, and then by the second block, she caught back up to me and said, you know, my father passed away 2 weeks ago. He would have loved you, and it's the first time someone made me laugh.
Oh, how about that?
So because of that, it's why I do it.
You're doing something good. Now, the bottle of Fiji water has been on your head now for about a minute, a little over a minute. The Fisher Nuts have been stuck to your head since you first walked in. So even though it's suction, it doesn't give way. It stays on your head indefinitely.
Do you have to release it?
Oh, actually, I can watch the can.
All right. Oh, it released just by the power of your mind.
See, and I'm excited because I can wiggle my ears, but no. That is nothing like this.
Not like this.
So what you said it's
my skin sucks, literally.
We'll get you some Oxy-10. Everything will be all right.
So I get enough oxygen constantly. I think they said my oxygen level is around 120-something%.
What's normal? Well, 100%, I guess,
100%
would be normal.
Normal.
So you're.
I actually get more. And because of that, because it's sucking in so much oxygen is why my body temperature stays around 100 degrees. That's why I'm outside even right now in
with no
shorts
coat.
And you're not
t-shirts.
Cold when you're
and
outside.
And I don't get cold.
So this is a condition that you have. Did I read only 4 other people?
Only 3 others in the world besides me.
Okay, so 4 total.
Correct.
Have you met them?
No, but I've my doctors and all that told me where they were. 2 were in India and 1 in South America. I'm the only one in the United States.
Do you stick to refrigerators?
I can.
You can.
As long as it's not porous.
Yeah.
As long as it's a flat surface. Well, like I was traveling to L.A. to do a show, and I was waiting to go to the restroom, and I was leaning against the luggage compartments.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was my turn, and all of a sudden you hear, and because I was leaning on the luggage too much.
Oh.
You stuck to it.
I stuck to the wall of the plane.
No one in your family has anything like this? Nobody in front of you? Nobody behind? I don't know if you have kids.
Well, I'm literally adopted. And from my family that I know, no one has ever had it. And my kids don't have it.
They don't.
So.
All right. So it's not a genetic thing that's passed along.
Correct.
Okay.
And are you naming what it is or are you not? I noticed that
they haven't named it, and one person said you should name it after me, but I don't know if I want to do that.
So it's just you knew. All right, 7 years old, an action figure. Do you remember which one?
I think it was a stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah. They stick better because they have a smooth outlet.
Yeah, they had a smoother surface.
Yeah.
All right. So you're 7 years old. A stormtrooper sticks to your head. And
no, to my hand.
Oh, to your hand.
To my hand.
Then when did you shave your head and realize things would stick to your head?
Well, things were sticking to me the whole time. I won't go in too much detail.
Oh, wow.
You know, a teenage boy. And when I got older, I shaved my head for the first time.
Yeah.
And I went to a ball game. I dried my head off first because that's the thing. If it's sweating, it don't stick.
Your head has to be dry.
My head has to be dry.
Work. Okay, that makes
sense. And so I dried off my head. I then put a can of pop on my head, trying to cool my head down. All of a sudden, they hit a home run. I went up to reach for it and missed it. And then I was like, where's my drink? And it stuck to the back of my head. Everyone was laughing because every time I turned my head, drink would fly out of the back of my head.
So you really can pour, you poured Robin a drink of vodka.
Oh, sort of like
he's pulling things
you've
off
moved,
of his.
All right, now the Fiji water is on the side of your head. And again, gravity just doesn't seem to go anywhere
it's
near
suctioned,
you.
It's suctioned, right?
It is that sucks it? To my head.
Yeah.
Literally.
He's shaking
He's
it.
He's shaking it. And it's amazing.
So your health, is your health in decent shape other than
Very
this rare
strength.
Condition?
Well, think about this. What gives you strength? Oxygen in yeah. your system. I can. I did a show for Outrageous Acts of Science, and they did a test on me. I actually can squat 1,200 pounds 30 times straight. Because it gives me body strength. I actually got pictures of it.
All of a sudden, the competition kicks in.
Come on. Say that again. You can squat how much?
1,200 pounds.
1,200 pounds.
30 times straight.
That seems impossible. No, if you say it, I believe it. But what would you say you weigh, Jamie? Do you weigh about 200?
Oh, I weigh more than 200.
A little over 200?
I weigh about 260.
Oh, that's still...
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'10 and a half.
What are some of your likes and dislikes?
You look taller, but that's probably the Fiji bottle.
Yeah, it gives me another, 10 inches?
We have to take a break. And, you're such a wonderful guy.
I told you, Canhead's a good man.
You
didn't believe me.
You are a good man. And, we want to find out, are you making money because of this? We'll take a break, and we'll come back. Can you stick around for a little while?
Yeah, I can stick around.
Can you stick Bill to your head?
Do I want to stick Bill to my head is the question.
That's a better question. All right, it's Bill and Wendy, along with Canhead, 312-981-7200 if you want to call in. Although, why would you really? I don't know if you would. But if you do want to, that's the number to use. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Luff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest, Jamie Keaton. You know him as Canhead. Things miraculously stick to him. I lost my car keys a little while ago. I looked over, and they're stuck to your head, Jamie. Thank you for finding those for
You're
me.
You're welcome.
Wait,
nice.
I'm trying. Is that too much time on my hands?
By sticks.
Because it sticks
courtesy
to
of
Jamie.
Kristen Decker.
Everything sticks to Jamie.
Oh,
brilliant.
I got it.
Brilliant.
I get it now.
You also had cans on your hands, so I'm like, too much time on my hands?
No, it's because of sticks, the band Sticks. So medical science is baffled by you to some extent. You said there's only three other people on the planet who have this ability of things just sticking to them like that, right?
Correct. Yeah. A lot of them think it's magnetism, but that's why I actually use glass, aluminum, and plastic, because then you know it's not
magnetic. That's not going to make plastic stick there. Or
right.
Glass.
Just like your phone is okay to get stuck.
I'm not.
To
you're
me.
Not touching my phone.
Wendy does not trust you with her phone. And you heal faster. We've determined.
Yes, I actually, because of the oxygen intake, I heal faster with my body heat. Makes me not get so much colds and stuff like
yeah.
that. So
it's like Wolverine in X-Men, the adamantium.
Oh, that's
the same thing.
Thank you. I yep. like that.
All right, you have traveled the world over. We'll talk about that, but I can't. These questions are so good. 847, would you stick to the toilet seat and have you?
Oh.
And yes, I have.
Oh.
Every day almost.
Really?
God.
So do you have to
That's
find,
sad.
Is there something, can you spray Pam on your toilet seat?
I don't want to put nothing, I want to take care of my skin.
Oh.
I don't want nothing that might harm me.
That's a good
idea. Because literally the chemicals in that would actually suck through my system.
Yeah.
So I don't do that.
All right.
Yeah, but what if the toilet seat was wet? Because you can't, have the suction if it's wet.
Well, that's not a good feeling.
No,
yeah, I guess.
No,
yeah, I know.
True.
I have three boys in the house. can you stick cans to other body parts besides hands and head? And if so, is this a hazard during sex?
Oh.
It's not a hazard during sex unless you get stuck. and that's happened many times.
Do you have a hard time going through metal detectors? And no, because it's
no,
not...
because it's not magnet.
All right,
that's a solid question, though. I hadn't even thought about that, but it doesn't it doesn't register at all. You just walk right through.
And what's funny, I just flew to China, and I was wearing a can
on the
of
inside
peanuts.
Or outside of the plane.
On the outside, going through security, I was wearing the peanuts on the back of my head, and and they're just watching me, but. There's a good story about China I got to tell you
later.
Well,
tell us.
Well, I was at Tiananmen Square with my interpreter,
yeah.
and the security already stopped her twice. Now the soldiers are stopping her, asking her, who am I, what am I? And
is he a secret weapon?
Yeah.
I started getting nervous. I thought they were going to keep me there to do experiments.
But you were walking around with like you are today. You've got cans and bottles on your head there walking around Tiananmen Square.
Plus t-shirt and shorts.
Oh, nice. All right.
So they're trying to figure me out. Everyone's bundled up because I think it was that day when I went to the Forbidden City in Tiananmen Square was about 9 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm in shorts.
Yeah, that probably would confuse a lot of people. So I noticed you're wearing a medal. You're in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes, I just won the Guinness Book of World Records for the most.
Hey. That's outstanding.
Cans on one head, a human head.
What was the record? Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there was a record. They just created it for me, and they said that could I do at least 7? I went, sure.
And how many did you do?
Well, they also wanted to make sure that I did it for 10 seconds. I did 8 for 3 minutes.
That's amazing.
So,
wow.
But I think I can do at least 12 or 14.
So you're going to keep beating your own record every year to get
more
medals? Yeah,
just in case someone tries to challenge me.
No, but there's only 3 other people that can possibly challenge you. The other people who have this ability, no one else can do this.
Right, but there's people out there I've seen that they wet the cans and stuff.
Yeah.
But see, on the Guinness World Record, they literally check the cans. They check every part of it.
Yeah.
Then they check my skin to make sure nothing's on my skin.
Right.
To make sure that I'm not using nothing to make it stick.
And, yeah.
So for the people that keep trying, hey, have fun.
Good luck.
But,
the other 3 people worldwide that have this condition, that it's not that you're not revealing the condition. It has no name at this point. Is that what it is?
Correct. They're trying to figure us all out what makes it happen. They know that the oxygen sucks in, but they don't understand why. Why is it only us 4? Why is it so rare and everything? So before they can actually name something, they have to figure it out first.
How old are they, and are they men?
All men.
Huh.
But one person said, if I was an alien, so I don't know if we're all aliens or something like that.
Do you know their ages?
I think I only know 2 of them, and they're both in their 30s, and I'm older, so I don't know.
This is just fascinating.
It doesn't make sense. You know this. You live with this, but it doesn't make sense for those of us who have never seen this before. It's crazy. The job that you had, because I know now you're doing this full time. You're marketing yourself beautifully. But what did you do professionally before this?
I was a sign company. I did banners, graphics, and stuff like that. And that's how I learned how to market myself, even to try to promote things just to get more business.
Did the signs stick to you? I'm not being funny. I mean, did you ever have that issue?
Yes. I can actually hold on to things with my hands, just holding it up. That might, you know, someone else would be trying to hold on to it by a suction cup holder. I just stuck to my hand.
So it has to be something flat. It's not like you could stick your keys to your hands, because men always lose their keys. I thought, boy, that'd be helpful.
Well, I just put the keys to my head.
Really?
Yeah.
Key at a time. That'll fit.
No, I can put like someone's keychain, whole pile of keys stuck to my head.
Okay, and how can people help you make a living doing this? I noticed Fisher Nuts. Are they paying you to put Fisher Nuts on your head?
Some do, and so does Fiji.
And Fiji water.
Fiji water,
I
yes.
love Fiji water, although it doesn't fit in my cup holder. Oh. I could just stick it on your head. Would you drive in with me?
Yeah. Just as long as it's cold, I don't put hot stuff on my head.
What other item? I mean, like, if somebody has a product, somebody wants to know if balls stick to your head in sports.
Yeah, did you play sports when you were in school?
I played football. I actually injured both my knees playing football.
But think about this. If you're a wide receiver and they're throwing you in the end zone, you lift up, the ball
but
touches
it's porous.
Oh, right.
So just like a basketball's porous and stuff like that, a baseball, it sticks for like a second and then it rolls
ping-pong
right
ball?
Off. I haven't tried a ping pong ball.
Oh, Bill.
I'll play ping pong with you. That'll be fun. That would be a blast.
You'll have to keep serving.
That's all right. I can serve a lot.
So, I'll be like, don't hit my head.
So how can people help support your new career, Jamie Canhead Keaton, if they have a product that you've been all over the world. You were on WGN-TV News this morning.
Correct.
Still jealous you poured Robin some vodka.
Yeah.
Well, I've been on Ellen, Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stanley, Superhumans, Outrageous Acts of Science, You've Been Warned, The Late Late Show with James Corden. I mean, plus I've been to Ireland to wear Guinness cans. I've now been to,
oh my God,
you know, China. So, I mean, the whole thing is if someone wants me to wear their product, they can get a hold of me at canhead69@yahoo.com, Instagram, I am Canhead, or Twitter, Canhead69.
You You sure you're not a 10-year-old boy with that address, that email address?
Wendy's no. Canhead. Don't cheapen it. He's Canhead.
It is a complete pleasure to meet you. You're a wonderful guy. And trying to think of some ideas for you, you had mentioned, you know, you would put a WGN can on your head, but we have to come up with something better than a can.
We'll figure something out.
Oh, I can stick it on my shirt, the name on the shirts. I designed the shirts up to have your name all over the shirts with my logo. And so put it this way. At NASCAR, I literally get almost 80,000 pictures a day taken of me.
Is that right? You walk around the NASCAR track and you get that many a day. People want their picture taken.
Correct.
That's great advertising.
I've been to Navy Pier for an hour and a half and had over 3,000 pictures taken of me.
So that's 3,000 people that are looking at the advertising you're wearing, basically. Correct.
And they take the pictures, so they put it on their social medias and everything else, and that goes further.
Yeah, I bet it does.
You are genius. And you're not on the dark
side. I use my head for business, literally.
You have a great sense of humor. Come back and see us again. Now, I noticed you say Warder, which our former producer Stephanie says Warder. So you're from the South originally?
Correct. I'm from Pensacola, Florida.
And where are you from?
I'm from Slidell, Louisiana, and I am so starstruck right now. I read all about you on the Daily Mail UK.
Stephanie's a canhead head. She loves canhead.
I got a picture with you.
And yes.
And so you live in Chicago. Why do you go from Florida to Chicago?
I got married 27 years ago.
Oh, congrats. And she's from here. Come see us again,
No, she's in Pensacola.
Yeah. Hello.
That's Steve Bertrand. We're late with his news, so he's trying to wrap it up. Come see us again. And if we come up with any ideas, we have to think of something for you to model.
Yeah. Something that sticks.
Where's your next trip?
Just stand in front.
All right.
When's your next trip? Where's your next trip?
My next trip right now, I think, is in Florida. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'm going back to China.
Look at this.
And then I go to, NASCAR in Daytona, Louisiana. I'm actually going to Louisiana February 11th.
You can stay
11th.
With her mom.
Yeah, you can stay with Stephanie's mom.
They have water. All right. So nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is great. All right. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, can we share something inside with you?
I wish you
would. It's actually outside.
It's happening outside, but it's inside information.
Okay.
Wendy and I have just witnessed one of the strangest things we've ever seen in our entire lives.
Does it involve Mr. Canhead?
As a matter of fact, it does.
Yeah.
He left our studio. Very nice man. Mm-hmm. Jamie Keaton, Canhead, has the ability to have things just stick to his body, most notably his head, but bottles, cans, books, you name it, it sticks to him.
It can't be porous. It has to be a smooth surface.
Right.
So books, I don't know. That might be hard.
What did he have?
He put his cell phone on his head.
He made his cell phone stick to his head.
And it still works.
When he left our studio, we thanked him, and then he went outside. He was escorted outside, and then as he's walking down Michigan Avenue, the looks of people, because he walks around, he's just wearing shorts, and it's cold out, but he doesn't feel the cold. But he's got bottles and
sticking out of his head.
Everything's sticking out of his head. He's got four bottles and a thing of Fisher's Nuts, and he's walking down the street, and you just see the look. You know, people, they want to look, but they don't want to look.
Right.
So that's what you're saying.
But you saw people posing with pictures
A lot of pictures.
Somebody texted us a picture of when they ran into him at a Cubs game.
Yeah.
And now, you know, John Cass is a great columnist.
One of our city's finest.
He really does a great job. What is he out front begging for our scraps for? He's interviewing him now.
John sometimes takes a negative slant on things, and then you see John's face as Canhead walks past, this huge smile on his face, like, this is the story I've been waiting for. And now he's interviewing him.
You know what it's like? The Life commercial with, hey, give it to Mikey. He hates everything, but then he likes Life cereal.
Right.
John Cass never smiles until he sees Canhead.
Then he makes
Canhead.
Right.
And
Canhead makes the world sunshine.
But here's what I was thinking about, and John fits into this. John is, as we pointed out, one of our city's finest newspaper men and walks down the street unnoticed. But then when he was next to Canhead, who's got people are lined up to say hello to him and take their picture. If you're John, you just go, well, how does that happen? What am I doing wrong? An interesting couple of minutes.
Does alcohol affect your skin? He said he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke.
Right.
I mean, he honestly takes care of his skin. This is his livelihood now.
And he showed us pictures because he was talking about how much weight he can lift.
And you didn't believe him.
I don't want to sound skeptical, but he threw out a number that didn't seem. He weighs 240 pounds. Did he say that he could squat 1,200 pounds? That's impossible. And then he showed us the picture. He did it. He could really do it.
Kevin, your thoughts?
You think I could take him? Or...
Yeah. I'm sure you can.
He's actually up outside the window still. I should whisper.
Right. Yeah.
Not if you can take him. Speak up, big boy.
No.
I want to know what John Cass is saying to him. I am just intrigued by the two of them talking on the street.
It's got to involve the White Sox. Somewhere.
Probably.
Well, and I'm sure he's been at a Sox game. I mean, think about it. If he's at a NASCAR event, there are millions
he
of people 80, there.
He said 80,000 pictures in a day at a NASCAR event, that he walks around the stands of NASCAR, and one day he took 80,000 pictures there. I'm trying to do the math in my head. That's a picture every third of a second,
okay,
isn't
so
it?
Okay, so let's say he charged a dollar.
Right.
And you lost half of those people.
Right.
That's 40 grand.
That's not bad.
But he doesn't charge people to take a picture. That's what I'm saying.
He should.
Right. Set up a booth.
Right.
That's people. Using your head, Steve.
I'll do it. I'll run interference.
But he does it through corporate sponsorship, Fisher Nuts or Fiji Water or you name the company. They pay him to walk around to have the products stuck to his head.
What I really like about him is as if he doesn't look ridiculous enough to begin with the stuff stuck to his head, he's walking outside in shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
But that's because he creates so much oxygen in his body that he's constantly sweating.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
The science is basic. Everybody knows that.
It's not new.
They explain Canhead on an episode of Science Channel's Outrageous Acts of Science, which he did mention he was on.
How'd you like to be Fisher Nuts? You're at a board meeting at Fisher Nuts, a marketing meeting, and they go, you know, last year we spent X amount of dollars on TV advertising, and then we did some newspaper advertising, a little bit of radio. Let's throw that out and just have a guy walk around with a can of Fisher Nuts on his head. Let's spend our money on that this year.
You know how they have the Red Bull cars?
Yes.
They should have him just walk around with that giant Red Bull can on it.
I know. All right. So that's the story of Canhead. His real name is Jamie Keaton. A wonderful guy. A magnetic personality, if I may say so myself.
He doesn't have any magnetization.
I don't know how he does
it. I want to know how much he makes from endorsements, though. Because he can't be making a living
secret.
On that.
Well, he's not a multi-billionaire. He's not swimming in it.
What if one day it reverses and he repels metal?
What a crazy day would that be?
Did he say he was adopted?
He did.
Yes.
Right. So then maybe he had a twin at birth, and the twin repels metal, and when they come together,
like the yin and yang,
right?
Like oil and water.
Right.
That's just ridiculous, Steve.
312 says you guys
aren't you
are
listening to the rest of the show, Kevin?
312 says you guys are so gullible. Wendy, want to buy some magazines for my orphaned African prince son?
What country?
This is legit, because I didn't want to believe it either. I saw him on the news last week, and I'm like, there's got to be some trick to it. That doesn't happen. Things just don't stick to your head. It's not a trick. We saw
Tell
it
me
close.
About it. I forget everything.
Right.
Canhead. I want to know how much he makes in endorsements.
Yeah. I think this is his job. I don't think he does.
This is what he does full time now. This is it. All right. A quick break. More show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Now, something just happened in the studio that I have to... Did I just catch you blowing kisses at someone?
Yeah.
I've never in my life... I've known you a long time, Bill.
I'm a very friendly person, and if people walk past the studio and want to blow a kiss at me, who am I to say no to this? I blow a kiss right back at them.
Who blew a kiss at you?
Some passersby.
It wasn't Canhead?
He may have been one of them. I don't know. I don't single people out.
You're really enchanted by him, Bill.
I know. Isn't this crazy?
Here's what it is, because I was trying to figure this out. I think it's because after you're on the planet for a while, you say to yourself, I've kind of seen pretty much everything. Nothing can really shock me anymore. And yet he shocked me, because I know it's not a trick. I understand that it's some sort of chemical imbalance, I guess. You could qualify it as that. But like I said, you think, oh, nothing's really going to surprise me anymore. I've been around the block a few times. And he sat there, and the whole time I'm just staring at him going, what I'm looking at doesn't make sense. Nobody has this ability, but he does.
Well, I wish him well. He's a very nice guy.
I wish him well, too.
I want to tell you about another nice guy. I know people blame him a lot. I know a lot of the audience does not like this man who happens to run our country, but he reminds me of you in a passionate way, a sweet way. Barack Obama, he's a pro when it comes to graduation and speeches, but he has revealed that he turned down a chance to speak at his own daughter's graduation later this year.
I saw this. He was offered the chance for Malia. He was going to speak there and said no to this. Because he says he would get too emotional, right?
He says he's not going to do it because he's going to cry.
Yeah.
That's totally you.
believe me when I say this, every one of these ceremonies that I've been through with my daughters, and I say to myself, you can get through this without crying. And they tease me about it. My wife and daughters both say, do you think you can sit? It's going to be 45 minutes. Do you think you could just sit there and not cry during this? And I go, yeah. And I can't.
I get that all the time, Bill.
Isn't that something? What, can you figure it out?
Why you cry?
You know it's coming, and I understand it's like it's the passage of life, but it shouldn't
be. That's why you're crying, the passage of life.
I'm just a big fat baby. I don't know what it is in your case.
I think it's the same.
But you're not a you're a baby, Bill, when it comes to your family. That's where you're a baby. Other than that, you're really cold and hardened.
Thanks.
The other day, for some reason, I heard Pomp and Circumstance.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's what they're going to play at Noah's graduation in 5 months. And I started tearing up at the health club.
I watched Michael last night in a choir concert, and it was pretty neat. At his high school, they had all the junior high feeder schools that feed into his high school. Mm-hmm. And anyone who was in their choir at these junior highs were there in the audience. And then at the end, they all sang together. All the feeder junior mm-hmm. highs came up with, you know, all the years of freshman through senior year at LT. And I'm totally, like, crying.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you break it down, you say, what is it about this that's
It's that
making...
they're growing up and they're it's like, you know, my babies aren't my babies anymore.
I agree, and I'm in, like I said, I'm exactly where you are, but then you know that that's coming. It's not a shock. You expected them to...
But these are all these new milestones. I mean, I cried when I signed Michael up for kindergarten.
Did you?
Not 16 years ago. He didn't go when he was a newborn.
Right.
But when he was 5 years old and I signed him up for kindergarten, I cried.
Yeah.
Dylan, I had one that went there. I was still a little weepy, but I was a basket case.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh my God, my baby is going to kindergarten. You know, the second kid, and God forbid if you have more than two kids, don't get all the attention and the emotions.
Right.
They really don't.
Sad but true.
Because
right.
That's your first one to, you know, fly away from the nest.
I've thought about this. Now, it thankfully has not come close to being true yet, but at some point Reese will get married, Kylie will get married, and then the father of the bride normally makes a speech.
I know for a fact
I won't get anywhere near it. I won't be able to. I will just crumble.
There will be a restraining order where you can't even show up.
I believe that.
You will not be able to walk her down the aisle.
They'll still take my check probably for the hall.
Yeah.
My guess is they will accept that.
You'll have to walk her down and then pull her veil up and kiss her.
Right.
And you'll be bawling like a baby.
It will be a mess. Because I, in my head, there have been a couple of things. It's like, hey, I got to mention this during the wedding speech. I'll mention this. And anytime I think about it, and hopefully it's still years away in both of those cases. But I'm telling you, I have no idea how fathers do it. I've been to so many. I always think of, I don't know, you were at Jennifer Weigel's wedding.
Yes.
To Clay Champlin. And Tim Weigel, our friend Tim Weigel, made a beautiful speech about. And I thought to myself, that's really tough. What he's doing right now to just recount those magical moments throughout the years that got her from being a baby to where she is today. When it's my turn to do that.
You should have recorded it like some of these comedians do. And then you could have just played Tim Weigel's version.
Right.
And then you wouldn't have even had to say anything.
Dub in Reese's name or Kylie's name where Jennifer's name was. I should have done that. I didn't think about that.
Bill? I do remember how touching that was.
Oh, man.
You're going to be a basket
case. It was impossible, and I'm just sitting there listening to it, and I'm thinking, but at some point, I'll have to be the one up there saying it.
I don't think
what's
going
to happen.
You.
They shouldn't let me. I wouldn't let me.
Terry can do it, and then she can say on behalf of my husband.
Right, and she'll point over to me, and I'll just be a puddle of tears.
You still hear that song, There's a Man in My Little Girl's Life from 1972?
Yep.
What is that?
That'll be playing. I've heard that song. It's sad. So sad.
So sad.
Maybe I'll have Canhead do the speech at the girl's wedding.
Hey, everybody, look over there. It's Canhead.
That's the only way you'll be able to get through it
is if
you could look to him for relief.
That's it. That's the answer.
All right. No. He's got a gig coming up.
He's got
about
rice
20
stuck
years.
To his head.
He will sign in can.
Right. All right. We'll do a quick break and then more show is coming. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's been quite a day for us here on the show. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far. For people who say, hey, you guys don't handle the issues, I think we proved you wrong. We had Canhead on, and we talked politics with Canhead.
we did not.
We didn't? I thought we did.
No.
We didn't get his views on Benghazi? I could have swore we asked him about Benghazi. All right. This is something from last week that we didn't get to, but I wanted to share it with you, and I had not discussed it with you off the air. I wanted to wait till it was on the air. They made the announcement that there's a new king of the box office in terms of tickets sold and money brought in. What I mean by that is there's an actor whose work now has surpassed all other actors in the history of cinema. He's the number one box office star, dollar-wise, monetarily, than anybody else.
And it's William Shatner.
It is not William Shatner. Did you think it would be William Shatner?
No, but we do have a pair of tickets to see William Shatner, Shatner's World. We just live in it at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet on Saturday. So can we just give this away now?
Yeah,
because he should
absolutely.
Be. He should be the number one ranking.
He hasn't done that many big movies. I'm trying to think of a movie William Shatner's been in. He's only been in a handful, really. He's more of a TV guy.
He's going to be Rialto Square Theater.
T.J. Hooker, the movie.
Was he in T.J. Hooker, the movie with Adrian Zmed?
I think he wasn't in the movie version. That was a big controversy.
Oh, maybe.
Through anecdotes, songs, and jokes, you can experience William Shatner's path from classically trained Shakespearean actor, cultural icon.
Wouldn't you like to see Shakespeare with William Shatner? Right. Wouldn't that be something?
He was a great director, that Shakespeare.
Get tickets at Ticketmaster or call the Rialto Square Theater box office at 815-726-6600. I say this because we have to give this away now. Look at the lines. They're lighting up like crazy, so pick a number.
Here's the
312-981-7200.
Caller 8.
There you go. You're going to see the Shat.
I remember seeing him as a kid. He was in a movie with Angie Dickinson that I want to say was called Big Bad Mama, I think. It was a terrible movie. I hope he's not listening. I don't want to offend William
Shatner.
Pepper
did a bad movie?
Yeah.
Policewoman?
Yeah. Yeah, you had Policewoman and Captain Kirk together in one movie.
What
could that be bad?
For?
What am I saying? It must have been brilliant.
Gary in Yorkville, you're going to Joliet on Saturday to see William Shatner, Shatner's World. Ba-na-ba-na, ba-na-ba-na, Shatner's World. Shatner's World, excuse me, we just live in it at the Rialto Square Theater. Saturday, Joliet, you're going to see him. Rest of you can get tickets at Ticketmaster or call the Rialto Square Theater box office, 815-726-6600. There you go.
All right. Who do you think that actor is?
William Shatner.
It is not William Shatner, Wendy. Believe me. I've looked at the list several times.
Rowan Atkinson.
No, another fine guess.
Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean is not the highest grossing film actor of all time.
He should be.
There's two things going to happen when I tell you this. You're going to go, that's impossible. How could he be the number one box office actor of all time? And then after a while, you'll go, oh, yeah, he was in that movie. And that, yeah, all right, that makes sense.
Is it someone I could guess?
Yes.
Does Steve know the answer
to this?
Steve,
do you know the answer to this? Steve is shaking his head no. Think about what the big box office films have been of the last 15 or 20 years. Now, can I tell you who I thought it was going to be? It's not Mel Gibson.
Was that a stupid guess?
No, that's a pretty good guess.
Is it someone of that ilk?
No. These are my first two guesses, and I was wrong. I thought it would be Tom Cruise. That was my first guess. I go, Tom Cruise has had some pretty big money hits over the years. It's probably Tom Cruise. And it's not Tom Cruise.
Johnny Depp?
And then, no. But that, seriously, that's another really, actually, that's a fantastic guess.
He's been in everything.
I thought Robert Downey Jr. might be the answer.
Oh, yeah. Although this is of all time?
Of all time, if you combine all of his movies together, his movies have grossed more than any other actors in the history of film. But Johnny Depp is a good one, and I don't have the complete rankings in front of me, but I'd have to think he's somewhere in the top 10, wouldn't you?
I think he's been in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I don't know.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Should I tell you who came in second?
Yeah.
Second is also
is there a
surprise.
Third?
They only list number one and two on this. This is
Slackers.
From, yeah, I know. Let me see. Tom Hanks? No, but that boy, is that a great guess. It's not Tom Hanks, but that would make perfect sense too.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Brad Pitt.
No.
These are all people that I really think I'm really trying here.
Those are all great guesses. Every one of those you go, I could see where that might be. The number two, before I give you the winner, I'll tell you who he supplanted. It was Samuel L. Jackson in number two. I would not have guessed that.
No, but God, I love him. But I wouldn't. He has been in a lot.
He's been in a lot of movies over the years, some big money movies. But the number one actor, the guy who has made more money at the box office than anyone else in all time, Harrison Ford.
I swear to God I was going to say that, but I didn't think that was possible.
It's Harrison Ford. And when you think about it, he's been in 4 out of the 7 Star Wars movies. They all made great money. 4 Indiana Jones movies that all made great money.
That movie with Anne Heche. You know what I'm talking about?
What movie did he do with Anne Heche? Oh, yeah, I do remember that, kind of. Yeah, there's
I didn't see it, but it
was... There's Hanover Street with Leslie Ann Down, which made a ton of money.
Never heard
the
of
The Frisco
that.
Kid with Gene Wilder made all kinds of money.
I swear I was going to say that.
He's been in a couple movies that haven't done really well, but just by virtue of the 4 Star Wars movies and the 4 Indiana Jones movies, and yeah, he's been in a couple of others that have done well, but of all time, it's hard to imagine, but it's true, Harrison Ford has brought in more money to the box office than anybody else.
The Fugitive.
The Fugitive.
Patriot Games, Regarding Henry, that's a great movie,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
Working Girl.
Yeah.
God, you forget about these. American Graffiti.
Oh, right.
More American Graffiti.
Was he in the sequel? I don't remember him
it
being in the sequel.
That
yeah.
He is.
All right.
Zabriskie Point.
Zabriskie Point.
What's the name of the stupid Anne Heche movie that I don't know why it's in my head? He was in a biplane or something.
Yeah, in a jungle.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Canhead the
Random
movie.
Hearts, was that it? Mm. 6 days and 7 nights.
That sounds right.
And that was...
That's how long it seemed like it ran, because I sat in the theater going, how long have I been here, a week?
Didn't that get some good press?
Mm,
it stunk, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't too good.
That, I don't know
they're
why.
Not all... Really, if you look at his film credits, they're not all gems, but he has... I mean, for a guy that was just a carpenter and just kind of backed into this, he's done okay.
Blade Runner, did you say that?
Oh, Blade Runner.
How did we forget that?
Yeah.
And pre-production for Untitled Blade Runner Project that he's working on right now.
Oh.
Indiana Jones 5, and then Episode 8, Star
yeah.
Wars.
He's still working steadily. And he, I mean, he is. He's a solid actor.
I thought Calista Flockhart brought him down.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because why? She made him get the earring.
I don't like the earring. It works for Easy Reader. It works for Morgan Freeman, but it doesn't right. work for Harrison Ford. Did you see that picture over the Christmas break? Maybe it was a little past. It was more recently where Harrison Ford is just shopping at Target and somebody
yeah.
took his picture and there's that earring
yeah.
bugging me like crazy. And, you know, Ally McBeal, that was a cute little show, but he deserves better than her.
Do you think so?
I think so.
You're calling for the end of this union? You
I'm
don't
surprised
want them
he's still working after being with her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's that serious. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we've got more show for you, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have planned for you next. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Are we going to play this at the end of the show every day? Because we should.
We should. It cheers people up. This is a peppy song. People love this. There's people dancing outside on Michigan Avenue when they heard this.
Somebody texted us something which I didn't believe, and I don't think you believe for a moment. We were talking about what was he?
Harrison Ford was just named about a week ago as the actor who has brought in more money at the box office than any other actor in history. He's been in more films that have generated big dollars, translating to him being the most successful, monetarily counting anyway, actor of all time.
And it surprised me. I was going to say that, but I didn't think so. And then we have forgotten so many great movies that he was in. Listeners were texting us, Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention any of those.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody wrote Apocalypse Now, and I said, there's no way.
I didn't think he was in Apocalypse Now. I didn't remember him being in it, but...
17 fascinating facts about Apocalypse Now, and one of those 17 things shows a young Harrison Ford.
Very young.
Bespectacled.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford appears in a technically pre-Star Wars role. Coppola hired a young actor named Harrison Ford to appear as Colonel Lucas.
How ironic.
A nod to George.
Yeah.
One of the military officers who gives Willard his orders to assassinate Kurtz. Ford had previously appeared in American Graffiti and Coppola's The Conversation, but was still relatively unknown when the filming of Apocalypse Now began in 1976.
How about that? I couldn't remember him being in it.
He would later become a megastar after appearing as Han Solo in Star Wars when it was released in 77. Apocalypse Now, which was shot before Star Wars, was released afterwards.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ford was apparently so nervous when shooting his scenes that Coppola added a story beat for his character to drop his dossier about Kurtz as a way to incorporate the then-young actor's anxiety into the scene.
Well, he was working, I've read about him, he was working as a carpenter all the way through when he was shooting the scenes in Star Wars. He was still a carpenter. Yeah, because he didn't know, you know, he got the part, but he's like, this could be a one and out, I could be done in a week. So he kept being a carpenter. And then the Star Wars thing kind of took off for him a little bit. He did all right.
And how many years later, and he's still in it?
Yeah, 30-plus years later, he's still doing okay for himself.
He's got to lose Calista Flockhart, though.
You really are holding a grudge on that.
I just...
Why? What's wrong?
They just aren't a good couple.
Is it because of the age difference, or is there more? Just style difference?
She's just annoying. What has she done since Ally McBeal? Actually, she is in some kind of series, isn't she?
I think so, yeah. She's still working. She's all right. He's the only celebrity I can think of. Maybe there's more. They're just not coming to mind. Whose first name and last name are both U.S. presidents. Can you think of anybody else that fits that? That's the only one that comes to me.
Is your life a game?
Yes. Yes.
You do come up. There was some trivia question we did where, was it president's names of baseball players or something?
No, I think so.
Or maybe not. I don't know. But no, I cannot think of anyone else.
Harrison Ford.
William Is that the Henry, only one you know?
William Henry Harrison and Gerald Ford. Yeah, there's probably somebody else, but they're not coming to me right away. If you can think of one, we have no prizes for you, but call in anyway.
Harrison Ford in Witness also.
Oh, yeah.
With Kelly McGillis, is that her name?
Yeah.
Air Force One.
He was in Air Force One, right. Witness is my favorite Amish movie of all time. Of all the Amish movies I've ever seen in my life, I'd say Witness is the best.
I like the...
What about which one?
Kingpin.
Kingpin is a good Amish movie. And, of course, the comedy Amish and Andy is also very funny, if you haven't seen that.
And didn't Weird Al do an Amish Paradise or something?
I think he did. Whose voice is this we're hearing?
All of a sudden, Harold just appeared on the air.
Hi, Harold.
But we're talking Apocalypse Now, so go ahead, jump in.
Okay, I thought I was online with Comcast waiting for them to pick my teeth.
I don't know how you got on the air, but you just put yourself through, so we'll talk to you.
I remember seeing that, and I don't remember seeing it in the original theatrical release. It probably is. I just probably don't remember. I remember watching the director's cut, which is, I hate watching that over the original version. But
why do you? And why do people, I mean, do you dislike the director's cut? Isn't that what everybody wants to do wants to
for
see?
For people who don't understand, the director's cut is what the director would like the vision of the movie to be. He's not answering to the movie, the honchos. And sometimes it's better and sometimes it's not as good. And yes, I said honchos.
I know, that was funny.
All right.
It gets too lengthy. But I remember seeing it when I watched that. And it's only maybe about 15 or 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
Maybe it seems like it's not very long. Well, you know that American Zoetrope was put out by Francis Ford Coppola.
Mm-hmm.
And his assistant was George Lucas. And so a lot of Spielberg, Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, and a few other directors, they may have worked for Universal, Paramount, or whoever, you know, in later years. A lot of those started out with American Zoetrope, which was put together by Francis Ford Coppola. So, yeah, that would explain why the character's name was Lucas, you know.
Yes. I'm sure of it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for just appearing. That was awesome. Speaking of Francis Ford Coppola,
yes,
the Godfather movies. Now, is this going to be like a director's cut where they're actually going to put Godfather and The Godfather 2 together in a chronological order in a single 7-hour film?
First of all, I know you already know this. In my opinion and in the opinion of many other people, that's one of the greatest films of all
time
is The Godfather and The Godfather 2. And there was one time that NBC put them together in chronological order. And if you don't know what we're talking about, when you see The Godfather, that's Don Corleone's life kind of toward the end. And then they went back in Godfather 2 and told about the early years. And De Niro plays him in those scenes.
And that's the first time that sequels really confused me. Prequels.
Because it was a sequel and a prequel
right.
in that movie. You were seeing what happened
right.
after Don Corleone Spoiler alert.
No, okay.
All right, forget it.
Because, you know, people have been waiting for this to happen, and it is going to happen. I don't know if there's a date yet.
It's long, too. It's 7.5 hours long, and I know you say to yourself, well, that's too long to be sitting through a movie. Not this time. It's fantastic. I've been trying to get a copy of this because I watched it when NBC ran it years and years ago, and they did some cuts.
Made
they
for cuts TV. Out.
Well, they edited some of the language.
Well, then they're ruining the movie.
But now, from what I understand, this version of it will restore that, so you'll get essentially everything from Godfather 1, everything from Godfather 2, and scenes that were cut out all together, all in order. I can't wait to see this.
This is HBO. They brought back a rarely seen... It's Friday? Did you say it's coming Friday?
I don't remember which day
it is. Oh, I thought
you
just said Friday right
no,
now.
No, I said it's HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And Lena Dunham is going to play all the women trolls from... Girlfriends.
HBO brought this back, a rarely seen cut of the film, The Godfather Epic. It edits the two movies into chronological order, as we mentioned, single 7-hour film. This version of The Godfather 1972 and The Godfather Part 2 74 also includes some additional footage that weren't present in the original theatrical releases of both movies, runs for a total of 424 minutes.
Right.
You have some time?
Yeah. It's long, but it's worth it.
You can see a rundown of the Godfather Epic's bonus scenes on the Godfather Trilogy, which is a fan site.
When it first ran on NBC, they called it The Godfather, the complete novel for television. And then they boxed it up as a VHS set, and they called it...
I think we have that.
The Epic version of it.
But it's not it, is it?
It's slightly different, but not the same, because, like I said, they've restored the swearing. And there was something NBC didn't want them to use. I can't remember if they didn't want them to use the word Italian or mafia. There was a word or two that NBC said, look, this will be problematic if we have this in. So they cut those references out, just a couple of mild cuts. So I guess everything's restored. I can't wait to see it. Whenever it's on, I'm watching it.
Well, we'll find out, but HBO's doing it. 7-hour Godfather Epic puts the first two films in chronological order. It's happening on HBO.
All right. Can we quickly... I know this is awful, but John has another actor that has two presidential names. Can we talk to him very, very quickly?
You're going into row time.
I'm sorry. John, we're in row time. who else? You can think of somebody else who's got two presidential names besides Harrison Ford?
Arthur Kennedy.
Who is it?
Arthur Kennedy.
Oh, Arthur Kennedy. The actor Arthur Kennedy.
Who's that?
Yeah.
He's been in... Boy, what would you best know him for? An older actor, The Poseidon Adventure?
He was in the Leslie Nielsen spoofs.
Airplane?
The ones where...
Naked Gun?
Yes, where he was a detective.
He was Frank Drebin?
That's right. No. Frank Drebin was Leslie Nielsen.
That's Leslie Nielsen, right.
Yeah, he was like his sidekick. The tall guy...
Oh, is that Arthur Kennedy?
Oh, this was
that's
totally
George, you're thinking
taken.
Of George Kennedy.
Oh, that's George Kennedy.
Yeah, but Arthur Kennedy is a legit actor. He was in Poseidon Adventure and in some other films. But yeah, Chester A. Arthur and then John F. Kennedy. So that would count.
Yeah, that would.
All right, John, stay on the line. We'll get you something.
We'll get you something.
We'll get you something. Stay on the line, John. Thanks.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Hang on, John. You should. You know what he should win is you guys should just go out and talk afterwards.
I would do that. Maybe him
Arthur
and me
Kennedy.
And Canhead. Yeah, take a look. When you see him, you'll go, oh, yeah, he's an older guy, grayish hair. He's no longer with us, but he worked a lot in the 60s and the 70s. That's a real guy.
Okay.
All right. Ro is in just a second. Anna's in just a second. We'll find out what they have coming up on their show next. Stick around. Spill and Wendy WGN.